go anywhere. Things are about to get violent.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah! 1, 2, 3. Circle sucks. 4, 5, 6. Mike's gay.
I don't know if anyone's ever told you that half the time this business comes down to I don't like that guy.
You think it's going well?
No.
It's a middle finger to the fans is what it is.
I am the number one human being in music. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two. I want you to look at this camera. I have not done any drugs. I've drank in a little bit, but even if I wasn't drinking, I would tell you the same thing. What do it take to be number one? You are in the presence of a champion. Bow to presence of greatness, family.
And now,
finish this sentence for me. Kanye West is
black.
Sorry, you're just a tool.
Our feature presentation.
You can be both, can't you? You can be black and a tool.
Yep, absolutely.
Sure. You can be any color tool.
Sure.
Welcome to an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. I have a question for you.
Right.
Is it good news that the Jennifer's Body premiere was last night and that the King of Mexico was on the red carpet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So far, sure, yeah.
When I walked in, here's what I heard. And these are the only words I heard of the conversation, and we'll have to find out later what it meant. And I think everyone's going to hate me.
Uh-oh. Was he talking about the red carpet with Megan Fox last night?
Sí, señor.
I mean, forgetting that just for the moment,
right.
The question of is it good news is it depends on what you expect.
Right.
Very much depends on what you expect.
Okay, so
as to
what
whether
you're
that's
saying
even
is,
good news or not.
All right, so if everyone's going to hate me, it could be because it's not up to our expectation, but it could be perfectly fine on that end.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. I didn't think of that.
That could be.
But I don't know if we have time for you to play the whole first interview.
We have a lot of guests and stuff today, so I don't know that we can play all of it. I can try.
Let's
just stop it if we run out of time. We have to do other things. All Dave right. with Megan Fox, round one.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
So that was that interview.
All right, so that's the length
and
of that one.
The world has breathlessly awaited the sequel ever since. I mean, it's like waiting for a new Star Wars movie. You just start counting down the days to the chance that those two kids get together again. And apparently last night was where it was supposed to happen. And no one will tell us until we get on the air what, in fact, did end up happening.
So, according to Lisa, which is good thinking, it could just be that he asked normal questions and she gave normal answers.
Right.
Which we would be disappointed with.
Yeah. Nothing fun about that.
It also could be that she now hates him and us by extension.
And yeah, she'll never, ever, ever come on the show.
Well, that's not going to happen anyway, but.
True.
I hope she doesn't hate my extension because it's for her. Hey,
Wow.
Did anyone stay for the movie?
I don't know. Didn't ask. Didn't have time. All I heard was, and I think everyone's going to hate me.
Oh, boy.
And he wasn't doing producer voice either. He wasn't Sulu from the original Star Trek episode.
Captain, I think everyone's going to hate me. I had Warp Factor 7.
I don't think anybody stayed for the movie because Dave called me or texted me early last night, and he's like, I'm already done. I already left the red carpet.
Did he give you any hints about how it went?
It's weird because he told me the only thing he said to me was, I think everybody's going to be happy.
Really?
That is weird. He's bipolar.
He really is.
Will it be today or do we have to wait till tomorrow when the movie comes out?
He said, I'm going to listen to it and then maybe we can play it tomorrow. I said, how long does it take you to listen to it? We had one cancellation today. We have one tiny hole in the schedule.
This, a sit-down interview?
I don't know.
Barbara Walters style
interview? I really don't know.
He's got to listen to it and edit it?
You have to edit it and put in old footage and stuff? No, he's Dave.
Of course he
doesn't
is.
Do those kind.
We can do it in 10 minutes.
Right. So I said, listen to it today, and we're going to need to figure out what went on, just because now I'm curious.
Yeah, of course.
I have to find out how it went.
All right, well, we'll definitely check on that behind the scenes and find out what's up. But right now, we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It's already the Thursday edition of Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
I'd just like to point out something before we move on, and that is that there's nobody named Steve that works here. So anytime you hear Hit It, Steve, I don't know what it means either, but enjoy.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize today. How about a pair of tickets to the Pepsi 500? That's coming up on Sunday, October the 11th at the Auto Club Speedway. Where do you want to start today?
Let's begin with Matt. Dog attacks are always funny. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Matt?
You know, hey, we talk occasionally. Hang on 1 second, Matt. We talk occasionally about top of the world and then bottom of hell.
Mm-hmm.
1 second, top of the world. Next second, bottom of hell. You don't know exactly what happened, but you just know things have changed drastically. That's what's going on with Matt.
Yeah, I was having some fun with the wife on the bed last night and heard a little growl. And 2 seconds later, my dog jumped up on my bed and was trying to bite the crap out of me.
Oh.
Oh, man,
now,
God.
It wasn't her dog going, hey, what's that guy doing to my owner?
No, it's been our beagle. We've had him for 8 or 9 years. And
wow.
He's growled before, but I guess we upset him, I guess.
He's growled before.
You know, it's funny because there are many different ways to handle the pet situation. There are those who insist they're out of the bedroom. They have to be on the other side of a closed door. There are those who don't mind if they're in the room as long as they don't get involved. And then there's Lisa who insists that they're on the bed and participate.
Yeah.
So it's always curious to hear what side that people come down on.
I think it's a good test for a man. If he can get his business done with the dog sitting there staring him in the eyes, then he's my guy.
No, that's a good test for you. If you're not hot enough for me to do that, I'm out.
If the dog's licking your ear and you don't miss
dog's
a beat,
licking nothing.
You are my man.
There's no licking going on.
I'll tell you what. You know what? That's happened to me before in a long, long time ago. I was taking care of somebody and the dog decided to greet me.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And I just kept going because, you know what? I had to do what I had to
You're
do.
You're the guy, Matt.
Did the dog take anything perhaps that you need to enjoy yourself with your wife?
What? No, I'm good. But...
Okay, just checking because the dog bit you. I didn't know. Cesar Milan, what do you suggest he do?
Well, Matt, do you have a nail gun?
Do I have a nail gun?
Yes, you can trap it inside a smaller room and let the dog run free, and then you do target practice from a distance with
no.
a nail gun.
Well, that doesn't sound like discipline.
You must be the
advice.
Trendsetter, the trailblazer. You remember the prom king at your high school? He was the leader, naturally. And that's
you
what you must
don't
be. You must be the
that.
Alpha dog. Use the nail gun.
Okay, no, that's fine. Let's move on.
I wasn't snapping my fingers and shoot in the dog.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Thank you very much for the call.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Exactly.
Let's go to the other Matt. He is on line 2 on this morning's Kevin and Bean What It Do Nephew. Hey, Matt. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Hey, what do you guys? What do you? Hey, boo.
What it do?
So I started my class last night and my college is a nighttime class. I just get done introducing myself to the instructor. Sit down. The class is totally silent. And my girlfriend sends me a text message. And my phone's on silent, by the way. I open it up. It's one of those audio clips.
Yep.
And it goes off blaring with some hardcore female lovemaking sounds. And everybody's staring at me, including the instructor, and just super embarrassing. It was pretty funny.
Do you have something you'd like to share with class, Matt? And that's like, nope.
Yeah, go and tell. Exactly.
That is the way to introduce yourself to a room full of strangers, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's great.
This is my ringtone. That's what I got going on. So.
Very funny, Matt. Thank you for the call. Let's try Jeff. We might as well call him Matt, keep the theme going. He's on line 3, calling about last night's Angels game. Hey, Jeff, what'd it do?
Kevin Bean, how are you? Lisa May.
Good morning.
We are good. How are you, Jeff?
Just peachy keen. Hey, Bean, I'm getting sick of the officiating. Did you see the Angels game last night?
Well, I saw the clip of the one strike that was called a ball. I did see if that's what you're talking about, yeah.
When the batter knows that he's out, when
yes.
he makes a face and realizes how frustrated he is when he strikes, but neither umpire calls it, I think it's time to change the umps.
Yeah, it was a bad call, and I think everybody knows it, and that does unfortunately happen in baseball, and the Red Sox ended up winning the game because of it. But what are you going to do?
Oh, really? The whole game was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
kind of was downhill. Fuentes kind of lost it, and they just didn't make it. But maybe what we need is we need Mr. Sports.
Mr. Sports died a few years ago. He retired to Florida and passed away. I'm sorry to say he's no longer
he
with
did.
Us.
Yeah. I was hoping that he might still be in the catacombs somewhere.
Hey, Jeff, I got a message for you.
Oh, f*** you.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Mr. Sports, Psycho Mike, I see the puzzled look on your face, was the sports character that our own Kevin did many, many years ago on this program when we were going through one of the phases just like now where we don't have a sports guy.
No.
So we created a sports guy. And I was a Mr. Sports fan. I liked Mr. Sports very much.
Here's the thing about Mr. Sports. About 2% different than my normal voice.
Yes.
Not really a character.
Okay.
I don't even understand why I did it. What happened?
But it was funny. I thought it was funny.
Mm.
just funny.
Mr. Sports was at every event. He was at every single sporting event. That was kind of the part of the bad.
Funny because it was bad, though.
Well, yeah. It's okay. Like that. I mean, that's the only way we get through doing this show is that we accept that things are funny because they're bad.
I know, but I wasn't doing it to try and be funny.
I do not remember Mr. Sports well, good. At all.
That's best case scenario.
Maybe I need a refresher.
Maybe you don't.
I think we need to resuscitate.
Maybe
that.
We don't need any of that.
Sake of nostalgia.
Why don't we call our friend Kevin at the Kevin and Bean Archive and see if he's got any Mr. Sports on tap? It might be fun to kind of pull that out and see what that was all about.
Oh. You.
Yeah.
So yes,
it's a rough thing where people can go back to your history and pull stuff out and beat you with it.
Yeah, most people don't have jobs like that.
Yeah,
that's true.
All right,
but since it's usually you, we enjoy it.
Yeah, I know, that's great. All right, we have time for any more calls? I don't think so.
I think we're done.
Sorry, split my pants. You're going to have to call in another day. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
How do you find a dog, a puppy? How do you locate? How do you decide which one, which brand? How to get your home ready for it. Mario Lopez from Extra is doing a 5-month expose on getting a dog.
Yeah, it would take me a week.
And that is super long for most people.
Yeah, there's all these rescue sites you can go online and look at all the dogs they have. There's so many dogs to choose from. It's actually tragic, but it doesn't take 5 months.
5 months.
Mario Lopez
says 5 months.
All right.
They're going to find dogs that look like him. I mean, they're really going for it on Extra.
Yeah.
I met my wife and married her in less than 5 months.
Right.
If that tells you anything about how much time Mario Lopez is taking to find, as Kevin calls, what brand of dog he likes.
Did I say brand?
Yeah, you did, but that's okay.
Yeah. For me, that's all right. That's not that bad.
That's close enough to breed. You're going to accept that.
Yes. Also on today's Kevin and Bean show, we have David Cross.
Yeah.
He's the best.
How about that?
Yes.
That guy is super funny. Love
him. He sure is.
And other stuff. What else do we have? We have Pearl Jam tickets coming up later on today.
All right.
Some stuff's better heard and is not teasable. It's also Kevin and Bean Day at the Kansas State Fair, and we need to get to the bottom of that because
are they going to carve our images out of butter like they do at so many of those fairs now?
I don't know. I've never been to a fair where they carve things out of butter.
That would be so awesome. I hope they do.
Until it gets hot the first day.
Well, there is that. That's true.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't understand. We haven't been there. We haven't been invited, more importantly.
Really?
It is interesting that it's Kevin and Bean Day. No, they didn't even extend the invitation. It's not like they asked us and we said no. We weren't invited. That's the kind of Kevin and Bean Day they're having at the fair.
Well, it's not like they said, hey, we're having Kevin and Bean Day at the Kansas State Fair. We understand if you can't make it, but it would be cool if you could. It's not like that at all. They don't want us there.
Wow.
We also, on this morning's program, we'll talk about how Kevin has a giant target on his back that the LAPD knows about.
I do.
And Kevin, your girlfriend Jolene from the Nitro Circus on the program today, too.
She's the best, yeah.
She is something else. You don't meet very many women who are willing to do the crazy stuff that guys will do, like Jolene.
Nitro Circus is all guys and Jolene. And she hangs. She's right up there with him.
All right.
So we'll talk about that coming up just after the top of the hour. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Thursday now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman has joined us. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
The Megan Fox letter saga continues.
The letter saga?
Yeah. You know, I mentioned yesterday, Megan Fox said in an interview that Michael Bay is like Napoleon on a film set. He wants to create this insane, infamous madman reputation. He wants to be like Hitler on his sets, and he is, she said in an interview. Then I told you that three unnamed crew members, and I'm doing air quotes, you can't really see that on radio, but asked Michael Bay if they could please write an impassioned letter about how much they hate her because she is rude and inconsiderate and untalented and stupid, and put it on his website. He said, well, I didn't really want to do it, but I had to because the crew asked me to.
Because they loved me so much, they wanted to defend me.
Right.
Yeah.
So he puts the letter up on his website, and then at the end, after he publishes the letter, says, look, that's their point of view. I think Megan's great. I think she's charming. But that's what they said, these unnamed crew members. And by the way, Michael Bay is infamous for not taking criticism very well.
Oh,
right?
Is that right? Okay.
So my take on it was, he wrote the letter. How convenient that they were anonymous.
Right.
And then was able to deny his own accusations of Megan Fox by saying it was someone else.
Right.
That was just my take on it.
It's a good plan.
He disagreed with the someone else, but he had to put it out
exactly.
There.
He had no choice, Kevin.
Sure.
If three low-level crew members come to you and say, put this on your website, as Michael Bay, you must do it.
That's the way it works on movie sets.
It's in the Constitution.
That's right. Oh, I'm sorry. So, not just movie sets. Constitution.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
All right.
So anyway, another letter has hit the streets.
Okay.
This coming from an actual crew member from both Transformer movies who has identified himself.
Oh, all right. Wow, that's bold.
And in defense of Megan Fox.
Yes.
The letter starts out, I felt I should at least clear my name because I've received a few phone calls from people who have read the letter and know I've worked closely with the actors and actresses on the film. And I am putting this letter out to clear my name of any of this Ms. Fox bashing. My name is Anthony Steinhardt. I've worked on both Transformer movies, and I've had the pleasure of working with Ms. Fox. And then he goes through talking about how considerate she was of people's feelings on the set. He was the one who had to get her out of the trailer every day. She always had a smile on her face.
Because that was one of the claims.
That was one of the claims of the other person, right?
Yep.
He said, I thought the letter was interesting because I was the one responsible for getting Ms. Fox out of her trailer every day.
Huh. I want to believe this guy so much.
Also goes on to say, one of the unnamed people says he wouldn't bring his daughter to the set because Megan Fox was a bad example. He said, we had a closed set. No visitors were allowed onto the set.
How about that?
He also says that Ms. Fox wished my 12-year-old brother a happy birthday over the phone while we were shooting in New Mexico. How rude is that?
Wow.
He goes on to talk about how she was at Princeton signing autograph after autograph when they were filming there, and goes on and on and on and on defending Megan Fox. So this Anthony Steinhardt has taken upon himself to identify himself and stand up for Megan
Fox. How about that?
So there's another point of view. Take it what you will.
She's still the best human on Earth then, right?
I choose to believe so.
Well, I do have a 22-inch waist.
And she's got that. So that's all you need to know. It's time to play Rehab Roulette. Celebrity Rehab Roulette. I love that.
In a while.
Celebrities, they love to party. How f***ed up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
All right, no more bets. No more bets.
We haven't bet yet.
And the winner is Burt Reynolds.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Really?
Film legend Burt Reynolds has apparently put himself into rehab as of yesterday to detox from pain pills. His representative says that he had a back surgery last year and started taking the pain pills and became a slave to them. This happened to him back in the 80s, by the way.
Wow.
Wow.
Originally it happened to him back in the 80s. He got dry.
Oh, he did.
Then he had another operation last year, and now he's got a problem with them all over again.
I see.
So, the president of the Burt Reynolds fan club said, this is great news. We all thought Burt was dead. So they're happy to hear he's just alive and in rehab, so that's great. Pink apparently has hurt herself.
Uh-oh.
She was doing it during rehearsal, and she now has a separated shoulder.
Mm. Oh, have you ever separated your shoulder?
I have indeed.
That hurts like a mofo.
I haven't separated it. I had a full dislocation of my shoulder, and I wanted someone just shoot me in the head and kill me.
Put me down like a horse.
I wanted to die more than anything else.
Was this as a result of the acrobatics she was doing at the MTV show the other night?
Yes!
Was she swinging from the ropes and all that kind of
stuff? Exactly,
Bean. Wow.
Yeah, apparently, she does that during her show, her regular show. And she was rehearsing. This wasn't the... she didn't do it at the MTV Awards, but you've seen the kind of work she does on the trapeze for her numbers. She does that during her regular show. She was rehearsing at one point and separated her shoulder. Mm-hmm. So now she can't do any of the heavy trapeze work. She's got a show in Seattle on Tuesday. She will not cancel any shows with the injury, but they are obviously going to change the... how she does the show.
She's going to barely be able to move.
That's right. She's going to come out in a sling and just...
okay, explain the pink.
Let's get this party started. Lindsay Lohan! In the news, Life and Style magazine talking about the fact that she was seen partying over the weekend in New York City because of Fashion Week. She was there.
So were we. Same That's reason.
Right. Not for Fashion Week. Oh. No. And she has a new clubbing buddy. Apparently she was seen partying hard, smoking like a chimney with... her 15-year-old sister, Allie.
Yeah. Oh,
perfect. Right on.
So I'm glad we're getting Allie started soon into the underage world of drinking and smoking in nightclubs.
Does she have a younger sister than that she can take out as well?
I think Dina Lowe and her mom should have a new baby just so they can bring an infant into the world. Put a cigarette in the infant's mouth and fill a bottle full of Chirac vodka and just stuff it in her mouth.
Oh, every time Allie does an interview and talks about how much she idolizes her older sister and wants to be just like her, I just want the handlers to pull her out of there and lock her in a room.
Yeah. Didn't there used to be a law? I don't know if it's still in the books anymore, but when I was a teenager, there used to be a law where if you were under the age of 21,
right,
you couldn't be drinking in a nightclub.
Yeah,
Did they change that?
No. It's always been there, but not for celebrities.
Oh, I see.
Or brothers and sisters of celebrities.
Apparently not. Today's celebrity birthdays, Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
Who is not only the brilliant director of Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet and Australia and other big budget motion pictures, but is the man responsible for Sunscreen. That's what I always remember.
He created it?
He was the producer of that single.
Oh, the song.
If I can give you one piece of advice, wear sunscreen would be it. We should play that in its entirety sometime today.
Yeah, no.
We used to play that on this radio station.
We did.
Big hit record.
Yeah. A lot.
We used to play that.
Yes.
He is 47 years old today. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Sal. Cassandra Peterson.
Love her so much.
Former disc jockey on this radio station before she became the Mistress of the Dark. That's right. 58 years old today.
Wow, really?
Isn't that crazy?
Remember when last time we had her on, she had a reality show where she was searching for the next Elvira.
That's right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking for her own replacement or something, and I never really caught up with what happened after
they
that.
They found one.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
There you go.
It was successful. Kyle Chandler, who's on a show called Night of Flights Friday or Night of...
Friday Night Lights?
Yeah. It's not even a real show. He's 44 years old today. Jolene Van Voot from Nitro Circus is 29 years old today. You guys are playing an interview with those kids today.
Caught up with them over the weekend, yeah.
Bassist John Walker from Panic at the Disco is 24 years old today. And Neil Blomkamp, writer-director of District 9, one of my favorite films of the year. We had Neil and Charlton Copley. We had him on the show.
Hey,
stop it! Guy is from South Africa.
You know now that it doesn't get that.
He is 30 years old, Neil Blomkamp is.
Wow.
30 years old.
Nice.
Just has a monster career ahead of him after District 9's success. So
yeah.
I would like to become his close personal friend. Maybe he can not put me in his next zombie movie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Apparently, it has been confirmed. It is on the schedule. We will hear Dave's interview with Megan Fox in a little over an hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave and Megan Fox, the rematch on this morning's show. I can't wait. An update on Spencer Pratt that you're not going to believe, and comedian David Cross in the studio. You know, we were in New York City last weekend, and we went to the Radio City Music Hall for what they call the MTV Roundtable, and it was a worthless event. I mean, it was the lowest level celebrities you can possibly imagine being trotted out for interviews.
Usually they give us a sheet of paper, and it has, like, A-lister names on it, mm-hmm. And it says at the top, hopefuls, which means they've invited everyone, they don't know who's going to show up.
Oh, wow.
The piece of paper they gave us this time, we didn't recognize names.
Oh, that's so sad. Right, these are people who might deign to show up that you don't even know.
Yes.
You don't even want, right. I mean, it was the type of day where you're lucky if you get a guy from Third Eye Blind. That's how lame the list was. But we were excited to see some stars of one of Kevin's favorite show, MTV's Nitro Circus, which airs on Thursday nights. There'll be another new episode tonight. This is the show for folks who don't know. It's kind of like Jackass. And whereas Johnny Knoxville is the ringleader of Jackass, Travis Pastrana is the guy who kind of corrals these kids together. And they just go all over the world just doing crazy, crazy stunts. And we had an opportunity to catch up with those guys just last weekend.
We are here with some of the Nitro Circus. We've got Jim and we've got Jolene. How are you guys?
We're very great. Good.
You guys look so normal. You don't look like crazy people.
What'd you expect?
Okay. I thought you'd come in
all crazy people
look
at the mouth
and drunk.
From the outside.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
So the second season has begun. How many have you guys shot already?
We are actually completely done the second season.
Are you really?
And the third episode aired.
So you spoiled it for us because now we know you survived it.
Are you injured? Can we see hands and legs and ankles?
I had surgery on my wrist. I have a plate and 7 screws.
Excellent. Which one did you hurt your wrist on?
I actually heard it right in the middle of season 2.
So it hasn't aired yet.
I was training for X Games, which is incorporated into one of our episodes.
Crashed off camera.
Oh, you know what? Really?
That's
I was training being like a real athlete, and I cased a 65-foot supercross triple.
Oh, unbelievable. My God. And there was no cameras on it, so what good is it?
I don't know.
None is the
answer. All right. Back up a step for me.
Okay.
What makes someone want to be in the Nitro Circus?
I don't know. It wasn't a decision. It was just what we always did. It's from little kid. You're a little kid out there digging dirt jumps and riding your bicycle over them, jump them.
This is the same story as the Jackass guys. We would be doing this if we didn't have a show, right?
Yeah.
It's just this is how we entertain ourselves.
No, it is. I mean, we're just all retarded people that found each other, I think.
That's nice when tards find each other.
But, I mean, we all found, like, we're all just being who we are, and we just kind of swarmed around Travis.
Yeah, and then we're trying to delay growing up as long as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Avoiding a real job.
I watch that show every week, and I really am convinced that someone's gonna die. I mean, I hope not, but it just looks like there's no other alternative ending.
Well, we know that's a possibility. Yeah. Obviously, it's a possibility. We're not naive to the fact that that's a reality.
Really,
but
really scary stunts sometimes.
Sometimes, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, there's days that you wake up and or you can't sleep the night before knowing you got to do the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you what the closest is either of you have ever been to. Thinking, this is it. I'm really going to wipe out in a way that's painful and probably permanent.
Well, when we jumped into the Grand Canyon, if we did that wrong, we would have died. 100%.
That could be a negative.
So that was, I think, my biggest fear sitting up on the top of the canyon. Make sure I do it right.
Any stunt involving a parachute, like all those, like, none of us are full-time skydivers.
Yeah, plummeting to the death part.
Yeah.
Only Travis does it without a parachute. That's how he rolls.
Yeah,
from a plane, right?
He's got a couple more loose screws than we do.
He's the king of loose screws.
I know, he's crazy, right?
But he is.
Does anyone go, no, let's not do that?
Well, you'd tell him no, but then he goes and does it by himself.
He does it
anyway. Yeah, so you might as well say yes and get it on film.
You might as well film it.
Have you guys had some stuff that you wanted to do that they wouldn't let you?
Yeah.
MTV said no?
Yeah, there's been a couple of things.
Can you think of one?
Well, not one specific that maybe we should talk about, but I mean, above and beyond, like sometimes they're just over the top. They think it's too risky legally.
They, of course, not being Travis.
No, they being MTV, it being a legal thing. Right. Stuff not being able to get approved for safety features, which when we weren't involved with MTV, we would just go and do anyways. Safety schmafety. We didn't really have safety. But then there's other ones that they don't let us do because they don't want them to be able to be replicated by young kids.
What did MTV say about putting Gary Coleman in a trunk of a car last year? Did you run that by him ahead of time?
I don't think we ran that one by them.
I don't think Gary knew ahead of time either. We're like, we're putting you in the trunk. He's in the trunk?
Jermaine was like, okay, go grab him, pick him up and put him in the trunk. I'm like, you want me to what? And he's like, put him in the trunk. I'm like, you want me to pick up Gary Coleman and put him in a trunk? But seriously, if somebody, did you ever think those words would be uttered to you in your entire life?
No.
Go pick up Gary Coleman and put him in the trunk of a taxi cab?
That would be a dream for me.
I got to do that.
Wow.
But it must have been so funny to see him furiously was moving his little arms and legs trying to get away.
I thought I was going to break him.
Yeah.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Very fragile.
He is.
No, I'm not kidding.
He's
he is.
Tiny and fragile.
He's
I
tiny.
Know. Now, you're the only girl in the group.
Yes.
Have you always been
a tomboy?
I'm a huge tomboy. I have female friends, but growing up, they were majority boys. The crew is all boys, but I just fit in really well with guys. I get along with them. I can hang with them and have
a good
rapport.
Do you enjoy the testosterone humor that guys have all the time, 24/7?
Yes, I have the same humor.
Jolene, I think you've got the same testosterone based on the show. I'm not sure you're not a South African runner. I'm going to be honest.
I can't run.
Do you have a penis?
No.
No? Okay, good.
No.
Good. She can say that.
I don't have a penis, but I am a tomboy and I'm not ashamed about it.
You're a stud. I've never said that to a woman before.
You're a stud, right? She's twice the man I am. I know that.
There's nothing wrong with getting dirty and still being sexy doing it.
I hear you.
Season 2 of Nitro Circus is on MTV, and that's part of the big Sunday night lineup, I guess.
No, it's Thursdays. We have a new home.
What?
Yeah, Thursday night. See you Thursdays.
We talked
now
to Rob Dyrdek on a Thursday about the show's moving to Thursday night.
I am not only manly, I am also retarded.
We are Thursday nights, 10 o'clock, MTV. Check it out. And you can also pick up Season 1's DVDs now, too.
Well worth it.
Thank you, guys.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. An update on that douchebag Spencer Pratt coming up for you next hour. Dave's return interview with Megan Fox. I didn't think there was anything left for those two kids to discuss after the last time he got her on the red carpet. But apparently Mr. Sanchez, the King of Mexico, Dave, last night was one-on-one with Megan Fox.
The last time we had an interview between those two, it was 4 seconds long. Bean, I'm just going to tell you this, just to tease you, over a minute.
No
Over
way.
A minute of him actually speaking with her?
Yep.
What? Not like Psycho Mike where he's just screaming her name and she walks up. Wow.
An actual conversation where she's in front of him and he asks a question. She registers what the question means and answers.
That's
What's up?
I can't wait.
That happens.
All right, so that's coming up, and funny man David Cross, all ahead on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
So, as you know, we went to New York City over this past weekend. We broadcast live Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I got another ticket for parking.
And I know you did. This was the funniest thing
ever. Here's the deal. I don't have a front license plate. I don't know what happened to it. I never put it on. You know, I figure if I'm in a drive-by shooting, I can back away and be safe. I don't know. I don't know. But I don't have a front license plate.
Uh-huh.
So I pull into the parking lot, and I pull, you know, face-to-face with another car. Your bumpers are probably a foot apart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I zoned for a second. You say you pull in the parking lot. This is at LAX as you're leaving to go to New York? So you leave your car there while you're traveling?
At the airport, yes.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how it happens at any airports. I don't know what kind of... I mean, I guess it's fish in a barrel for cops.
I've never actually seen one in those parking lots.
Me either.
Which is weird.
So parking and come back from the trip, and there's a ticket on my windshield. It's for no front license plate. Now, my car was close enough to the car in front of me that what this means is a cop had to get off or out of his car, off his whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He had to walk around between the cars and actually do a visual up-close sighting to see that there's no front. You can't see that from even 10 feet away.
He might actually need a mirror.
Yes.
To put down in between the cars in order to see it.
So he was looking for that specific offense. This isn't like you were parked in a no parking zone or something and then he happened to notice a no front license plate.
Not at all.
Wow. That's like, why? How could they possibly have the kind of time to go trolling for that offense?
That's my question.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're, you know, a policeman or somebody, you could call in and let us know. But that seems like that's pretty close inspection. And are these the guys that don't write tickets that are way behind everybody else? And then the captain says, I need so-and-so and so-and-so to stay afterwards, please.
Do they have cops specifically signed to the airport or not?
I think they do.
I think so, too.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know at what point they are forced to walk around the parking lot and, you know, nitpick. I mean, if they pull you over for something and then they find it, you go, all right, I can see that.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I could see, I mean, I still think it would be lame, but I could see it if they were just, you know, driving up and down the parking garage looking for expired tags.
I agree.
I can see that because that's on the back license plate and it's, you know, an offense where you owe the state money. I get that.
Right, but that even that is a little nitpicky, right?
It is. Yeah. It is, absolutely. Right. But the front license plate, I can't understand how that would ever get ticketed. Just on its own, just the front license plate.
That's
in a parking garage. That just doesn't. That doesn't make any sense.
I was parked
to me.
Legally. I was in my in between the lines. I wasn't too close. I wasn't too far back. My registration is up to date. My back license plate. Everything was fine. Couldn't see anything from unless you crawl underneath my car next to the wheel and, you know, crank your head around. Then you can see I don't have a license plate.
It was the funniest moment, too, Bean, because you know how late we all got in on Monday, and then we had to wait for our luggage, and that seemed to take forever, and then we all go and drag it all over to Kevin's car, and I pluck that ticket off the windshield.
And she started
and
laughing.
Burst into laughter.
That's my friends right there.
Now, David Hagar, we're going to get to you in 1 second. We'll take other calls if you know something about this at 1-800-520-1067. How long ago was it you got the last ticket for the same offense?
Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? Now,
well, I'm just curious.
Now I'm just an idiot. It was, I don't know, 6 or 8 months.
And what's involved, because I don't know, what's involved in getting a replacement license plate if you've lost one? Is that a huge, huge hassle to do?
Yes.
Because I don't know. I mean, I've never been in that situation. I don't know how you'd go about doing that.
I don't either.
Something that's expensive or takes
clearly
a long time.
Clearly, I don't either, Bean, because I got a second ticket for it. But you know what? After I got the first ticket, I thought, this is such a one-off. There's no way that'll ever happen again.
And it happened at the
same
airport,
place.
Right?
Same airport. Yeah. But really, I mean, I can't imagine how much time they have.
Oh, well, I can't either. I mean, it's crazy. I don't care. Look, I don't know the circumstances of that cop or that day, but I guarantee there's 1 million things he could have been doing more useful than specifically looking for lack of front license plates on cars that are legally parked at LAX. That is crazy. That's a crazy bad use of his time.
All right, let's talk to a few of the policemen that have called in.
Okay.
Let's go to Eddie, for example. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, how you doing? That ticket is such a ticky-tack ticket, but all agencies are doing that. I work for a state agency.
What was it? A ticket cash? What?
A ticky-tack.
Oh, ticky-tack, right.
You know, like a little ticky-tack.
Yeah.
But that's such a big revenue buster because there's so many people out there that are driving around without...
All right, but Eddie, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is it really a revenue increaser if you have to pay somebody by the hour to climb all over my car...
You know,
and look and try to figure out if my right front, you know, headlight is a little out of alignment. I mean, really, how much money are they making?
I know. And they're doing all kinds of stuff in the state right now that doesn't make sense. You know, believe me, I see it every day.
But I mean, how many of those can there be? If they're going through a parking garage of 1,000 cars, how many people are not going to have a front license plate, as Kevin said, to make it worth the time it takes to, you know, the money it takes to pay the cop to look for them?
I have no idea. But you know what? Wow. All the county taxes and everything that go along with it, they just keep adding up. I got a cell phone ticket the other day that was $132, and everybody's telling me that it was only like a $25 ticket, but all the county fees added onto it.
And Ticketmaster adds on a fee as well to those.
Isn't that weird? That's
I don't
a surprise.
Know why, but they do.
Eddie, thank you very much for the call. Let's try David real quick. He's on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a traffic officer, so maybe he can shed some light on this one. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
You're screwed if you don't have your front plate.
Right, I know, but
and it's not really a money generating ticket for the city, because
then
if you do have the front plate, it turns into a $10 ticket. So the city essentially is losing money.
Okay. If he has a front plate, why would he get any ticket at all?
No, he's saying if I get one,
if he gets his front plate,
okay,
put on,
he pays $10.
He only pays $10.
Then it's like a fix-it ticket.
The city loses money.
Okay, so how do they have so much time to look for it then?
Because they're looking for stolen cars. And
okay, but hold on. Let me stop you right there. If they're looking for stolen cars, wouldn't they get the information that they needed off of the rear license plate, which is easily seen?
If they're already looking at your car, they're going to look at everything on your
car. But they can't. I'm not kidding. They couldn't see the front license plate unless they crawled there.
Maybe it was a skin cop.
Maybe it was a skinny cop, ladies and gentlemen.
Skinny cop.
It did not occur to us that could be the case.
Hey, there's a lot of free time at LAX.
You're funny, David.
All right. Let's try. We got something different on this from Keisha on line 2. Hey, Keisha, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. I worked for TSA for about 6 years, and basically what they do is, because they have nothing to do, because TSA and Customs did all the work, all they did was sit around, sleep, eat, and scratch. So what they had to do to fill their time for the reports was to go and look for stuff. And the three things they looked for was no front license plates, no tags, and expired tags.
Right. I had tags and expired. I mean, I had everything was except for the front license plate. How closely do they look?
Well, let me explain to you.
Wait a minute. Isn't the TSA, isn't that the security?
Yeah, but they work.
Okay, how about looking for the next bomb?
No, because we did that. We did that, and Customs did that. So all they did was sit there. There are actually podiums where the cops sit and just watch us work. That's how much, and most of them are there on overtime pay, and they get all this.
I see what you're
sit
doing.
Sit there and just peruse, and so to fill the time, oh, let's go do some tickets.
So
and
TSA takes care of everything, and the cops just kind of watch with a steady.
I was telling her how when I got my car brand new, I had no plates, just driving in, they would pull you over.
How about that?
It was a brand new car. Like, hello, it's a new car. Yeah, but you need to have that.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even cite me because, you know, I had my papers.
Can I have papers from you?
No.
So
I need a TSA badge. Do you have a badge I can have?
Actually, I don't work there anymore. Oh, I actually work for Cedar Sinai now. I left that job because it sucks. Well, I can't say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what that cop that wrote this ticket can do to me as well. You know what I'm saying?
Keisha, thank you very much for the call, my dear. So basically, you're screwed until the next time you go away and then this happens again, right?
Well, I mean, really, honestly, after the first time, it's all on me.
Yeah.
But I'm still just so surprised that it's, you know, the lengths they'll go to catch that infraction.
Are you going to roll those dice again?
Yeah, I'm not going to get it from
him. How about a little more time trying to get Nelson Mandela out of jail? A little less time worried about Kevin's license plate, all right?
He's been out for like 15 years. All right, we'll be right back with the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday, minutes away from Dave the King of Mexico and Megan Fox together again. Can't wait for that. Also, what's in with Spencer Pratt and David Cross on the program today. And we've got your Pearl Jam tickets. A lot of shows still ahead here on the Kevin and Bean program. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat.
Speaking of the Fox named Megan.
Yes.
Our very own King of Mexico wasn't the only person doing interviews with her recently. You know, she's doing a lot of press for this Jennifer's Body. I don't know if you've seen this interview or not, but there is a celebrity interviewer on the National Lampoon website.
I have not. I don't go there regularly.
Well, National Lampoon is a funny site. I mean, okay. They've got a long-running comedy magazine, and they've done movies and stuff. So they've got an original content site as well. And they've got a guy who does all their celebrity interviews, and he goes to these press junkets, and he pretty much monkeys around with people while he's interviewing
them. I like it.
For instance, there's a Matt Damon interview up there where he's talking about The Informant, and he shows up as like a crazy stalker superfan journalist, and he's got like a t-shirt on that's got a photo of Matt pushing his kid in a stroller.
Right.
But he has photoshopped his own face onto the baby's head that he's being pushed. It's got a baseball cap on with a picture of Matt Damon on vacation, and then he's photoshopped him into the chaise lounge next to him by the pool. They're drinking beers and stuff.
That's funny.
So it's a very funny interview. And he just recently did one with Megan Fox from Jennifer's Body and the dude who's in that, who also was in Hotel for Dogs, this actor. Right?
Okay.
So he's interviewing her the whole time, interviewing them the whole time, and he's only talking to the guy. And she keeps trying to say stuff. And he's like, we'll get to you. You want to pipe down? He keeps telling Megan Fox to be quiet.
Awesome.
He's asking this kid about...
That's awesome.
What was it like to work with Don Cheadle and Hotel for Dogs? And it's like all these Hotel for Dogs questions. And Megan keeps trying to talk.
Does she get it at this point or no?
I don't think at this point she does quite get it
okay.
yet.
Okay.
But then he realizes that she is being a distraction during his interview with this dude.
Right.
So he gives her a paper bag put over her head.
No.
Until he's done talking with this guy, and then we'll get to you, and you can take the bag off when we get to your part of the interview. It's hilarious.
That's fantastic.
Here's a little taste of the audio from the interview.
You want me to put a bag on my head while you're doing an interview with Johnny so that I don't distract him?
Briefly, and then we'll come back and I'll do your portion of the interview.
Thank you.
Okay,
right, so we were talking about what?
We were talking about Hotel for Dog spinoffs.
Gerbils.
Spinoffs.
He wants more movies with hotels for other animals, like gerbils. Hotels for gerbils, hotels for tarantulas. He thinks a running series.
I'm going to suggest she had to be in on it to put a bag on her head.
Well, she gets it at that point.
Okay,
she starts to laugh and she puts the bag over her head, and they do the rest of the interview with her with a bag on her head. I'm hoping Dave's interview is as creative as that one was.
Oh, you'll be sorely disappointed.
No. I don't know. I was hoping.
Is this guy funny professionally? The guy that does that website?
I'm not sure what you're...
That interviewer? Does he actually do comedy and people laugh at it and stuff?
I don't know if he's a stand-up or whatever. Yeah. I just know he does the interviews for that website.
Dave sits in that chair and monkeys with computers. That's it.
He does monkey.
He's not exactly
he's a monkeyer.
A professional interviewer.
Friends are worried about Ashley Simpson-Wentz. According to In Touch magazine, they are worried that she's getting too skinny.
Okay.
Her husband, Pete Wentz... says he's worried she's not taking care of herself. She's blaming it on her hectic work schedule in the new Melrose Place.
Sounds like communism.
I think we have an answer for that. Don't do Melrose Place anymore. I watched it again this week and you're horrible.
You're not a big fan of hers?
She is the worst.
It's the worst acting on television.
Yes.
I
really?
Swear to you.
Maybe we should start bringing in clips.
A lot of it, though, is visual.
Oh.
Like, she goes in for this job to be a hostess at this restaurant where all the hot Melrose people work. And they say, no, we're not going to hire you. Look the way you're dressed. You don't belong here. You don't belong here in Beverly Hills. And she goes, oh. And she makes this face like, I'm 3 years old. I'm going to pretend I'm disappointed. She goes,
wow.
And then turns around and walks out. It was laughable.
Yeah.
It's laughable.
Well, there's no food on TV sets, too. A lot of people don't realize that.
There are rumors, these urban legends about tables with tons and tons of carbs on them, crackers and Pop-Tarts and jelly beans and bagels.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
Those are lies.
Don't get bought into it. Congratulations to Kevin Skinner, the chicken farmer.
I'm sorry.
Huh? Congratulations to Kevin Skinner, the chicken farmer. He is the winner of America's Got Talent. He won a $1 million on the series finale last night, and he'll be headlining a show in Las Vegas.
This dude
was a chicken farmer who sings country music.
Ah.
He's bad.
He's crying.
He's a $1 million richer.
I saw the clip of him crying. Was that what that was about?
Yeah, he won the overall thing.
How about
there was a woman on that show, a beautiful Latina, who sings opera like an angel, a goddess. She's trained her whole life for like 25 years, and she's survived cancer, and she's come back, and she's got her voice back, and she's beautiful, and she's singing. This dude's a chicken farmer with an out-of-tune acoustic guitar. Sings worse than Willie Nelson. $1 million for you. That's America.
How, I don't watch the AGT, but who decides? Is it a phone vote, or is it the judges?
It's
phone vote, okay.
America's Got Talent, but doesn't have taste. Apparently, that's what we learned last night. So there you go.
I'm sorry, it's AGT?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bean? Okay.
I'm very, very busy. I'm on a tight schedule today.
America's Got Talent. Can't say that.
AGT.
He shortens everything.
Today's celebrity birthdays, or the CBs, as I like to call them.
Nicely done.
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah!
As we approach the Halloween season. You know, Halloween's right around the corner.
Stores already
have the costumes and the decorations in stock.
Which means we're late on our Christmas shopping.
That's right.
Now.
You're well behind.
Ralph, I was in Petco yesterday. You can imagine how much dog food I go through. And they had the dog and
like
cat
it.
Halloween costumes out on the shelves yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
How are we going to stop that this year? I really feel like we need to be the ones to step up and make that stop.
Dude, the type of person that will dress their dog up for Halloween is not going to be deterred.
Yeah. Nothing we can do.
Nope.
My friends mean well, but since I've gotten my dog, Reggie, the Wonder Dog, I must have received 5 costumes from people who think it's hilarious that we put him in a costume.
Yeah.
Those costumes have remained unopened in a drawer somewhere.
Good work. Re-gift them.
One's a hot dog that you strap onto him because he is a dachshund. He's a wiener dog, see? Mm. So you strap the buns around him on either side.
And hilarity ensues.
Looks like a walking hot dog.
Yeah.
See why that's funny.
Sure.
Well, in your friend's defense, it sounds like a lot of fun for Reggie.
Yeah. Oh, nothing a dog likes better than being strapped into giant styrofoam hot dog buns.
That's how dogs are meant to live.
Baz Luhrmann from Moulin Rouge is 47 years old today. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 44. Director, writer, genius, Neil Blomkamp. He gave us District 9 this year. He is 30 years old. Jolien Van Voort from Nitro Circus is 29. We talked to her earlier today.
New episode on tonight?
That's right.
Thank you.
Speaking of new episodes, new Fringe tonight. Oh, I cannot wait.
Oh, it's back. Great.
Fox was the sponsor of our New York trip, and so we kept seeing the promos for this. And Fringe is one of my, I mean, they're not paying me to say this. Fringe is one of my favorite shows, and I just watch that over and over and over. It's like, oh, I got to see that.
And the last season, we found out not only is Peter Bishop from another dimension, another universe, Walter's son, Peter died. Walter went into another universe, found the other Peter, then brought him back. That's what he did.
That's all.
That's all.
Just a little of that.
And then Livia Dunn, Liv, as I like to call her.
Sure.
She met up with Belly, finally. William Bell. Super
Can't
genius
wait.
William Bell. So it's going to be a good season.
Can't wait.
As I mentioned, Jolene is 29 from Nitro Circus. And John Walker, bassist from Panic at Disco, is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. But before I go away, I do have some tickets to give away. The red carpet world premiere of Zombieland.
This is going to be awesome.
Woody Harrelson as a zombie killer. Looks terrific. It's at Grauman's Chinese Theater. September the 23rd at 8 p.m. The movie is in theaters on October the 2nd, but you'll get to see it before anybody else. If you're one of the first 5 callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. God bless you. Call now.
This is going to be a huge hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave's one-on-one interview with Megan Fox coming up in about 15 minutes, and then we'll find out why it's Kevin and Bean Day at the Kansas State Fair. Look, we love our Wichita listeners, don't get me wrong, but we weren't invited to the Kansas State Fair, yet they're having Kevin and Bean Day. What's up with that? So we'll cover all of that later on for you this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we got to talk about one of our favorite douchebags, ladies and gentlemen. Spencer Pratt joins us in the studio.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean,
tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear it, no man.
Spencer.
You heard it. It's gospel. Right out of my mouth, kid.
I'm not sure all that's true.
Whatever. You can question me all you want. Just keep saying my name. That's the bottom line. There's no such thing as bad publicity. I keep making money.
I think you make a lot of things up to pump yourself up because you have very little actually going on in your real life.
I think that since I became a PGA golf card holder, things have just been falling in line with me.
You don't
and
do that. You don't.
After I wrote Star Wars.
You didn't write Star Wars.
What?
That's a pretty famous movie. You didn't have anything to do with it.
After I wrote Star Wars, I became a Falcon trainer.
Okay.
And that's when I eventually became a sandwich board dancer.
Okay, you don't do any of those things. But look, let's talk about some of the things that you do, all right? A lot of listeners have been calling, writing, dialing into the Afro line. They're saying, why is Spencer wearing a black cowboy hat in all of the commercials for the new season of The Hills that starts in a couple of weeks? What's up with that?
What do you mean, why?
Why do you have a black cowboy hat?
Well,
you live in Beverly Hills. You're not rustling cattle.
You're not a cowboy.
Yeah, okay. I am in my mid-20s. There's a lot more to Spensog than the last 2 years of my life where I've been hanging out mostly in Southern California.
Were you a cowboy at some point at some place in the country?
For many years after I became an alchemist, I also was a cattle rancher, and I own most of Wyoming.
That's not true.
You're just making stuff up. You can't just wear a hat and claim to wear to own most of Wyoming. It doesn't make it true.
I'm a wizard.
You're not a wizard. You're not that either. All right. Here's the thing we really want to talk to you about. There are a lot of rumors about you fighting in MMA.
Oh, don't get me started.
A lot of rumors. And most of it has been just rumor. We want to confirm. We want you to get in the ring with the host of Human Weapon, Jason Chambers, who has said publicly he will fight you anywhere. He will donate the money to charity. Let's get it on.
I better find a way to work that into my schedule, because when any man challenges me, I have an obligation, okay, as the inventor of waterproof leggings, to take him on.
I'm
working on that right now with a young rapper who I met on the streets. We're developing his album and inventing the waterproof leggings. But that's neither here nor there, okay, Kendall? The bottom line is that the line has been drawn in the sand.
Right.
And Spence Dog will enter that ring. And I'm going to kick his balls in.
When can we watch this? This is going to be so awesome. Have you watched Human Weapon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have I watched it? I lived it, kid.
You didn't live it.
I did.
No, you had nothing to do with it.
I killed 422 people in the Korean War with my pinky.
You weren't alive then, Spencer.
That's what you think.
You're making things up that are verifiable.
Wasn't the Korean War early 50s?
I'm Kevin Skinner, the chicken farmer.
That would make you 60 years old.
I'm not. Kevin Skinner, the chicken farmer.
No, we saw him on television last night. You don't look anything like him. You're not that dude.
You're not any of this stuff.
I'm Bali.
There you are.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, if you love Muse and you missed our breakfast with Muse, you can check it out on the website. It's all there for you at kevinandbean.com.
Megan Fox, big bulgy things are gonna happen, and by that I mean
all right, thank you very much, Joe. Listen, here's the thing. Megan Fox is the hottest chick in the world, period. And I don't care about people who try to say she's snotty or she's bratty or she's got a weird thumb. She's the hottest chick in the world, period. I've never been able to interview Megan Fox. We've never had Megan Fox on the show.
Yeah.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is practically having a relationship with her at this point. They were back at it again last night.
When did you interview her the first time for that exhaustive interview?
The Transformers premiere. Transformers 2.
Yeah. Okay. And here's how that went.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
All right.
Now, I would think that you're done at that point. Like, everything that can possibly be said has been said. Yet, you apparently had more for Miss Fox last night on the red carpet of the new film opening tomorrow called Jennifer's Body.
Yep. We were in New York, by the way, just by way of setup. And I said to Dave, if you have any stones, and this is when that congressman yelled, "You lie," at the president.
Oh, yeah.
I said, if you have stones, you'll ask Megan Fox any question. It doesn't matter what. And as soon as she starts answering, you'll lean in and yell, "You lie!" I was trying to talk him into doing that. He did it, sort of.
What? He did?
Sort of. I'm going to play for you now part two of the King of Mexico standing with Megan Fox having a conversation.
Wow.
Which in itself is not acceptable.
You're right.
It does seem like matter and antimatter, like those two things shouldn't be able to exist in the same universe. How can Dave and Megan be within 6 feet of each other?
And by the way, last time he said, "I just want to ask one question, hello," and we mocked him endlessly. This time, an actual conversation.
Hi, Megan. It's Dave, the King of Mexico, for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Uh-oh. Yeah, uh-oh.
Why uh-oh?
Okay, so she responds to that with uh-oh.
Interesting.
That's not what you want.
Is that a good sign?
No.
Why would she say that?
Why would she have any reason to not be thrilled that her boyfriend Dave is there?
Kevin and Bean, or does she remember you?
Dave, Kevin and Bean.
Dave, the world's best interviewer, follows up with, "Wait a minute, why uh-oh?"
I've heard about you guys. I used to listen to you guys before you started talking about me so much, and then I couldn't take it. I can't listen anymore. I'm embarrassed.
Talking good or talking bad?
Well, I tuned out when you were still talking good. I hope that that still happens over there.
Here's what I like about Dave. He offers up that we talk bad.
Yeah, thanks, Kick.
Talking good or talking bad? Was it all those bad things we said about you? She didn't even know about them.
Gotta stay true, man. No lie.
No, you don't have to stay true. If Megan Fox thinks we're saying good things about her, you let Megan Fox think we're saying good things about her, which, by the way, we are because we love her.
Yeah, all right.
We don't really say bad things much.
We don't. Why would Dave say good things or bad things?
I don't know. I was thinking it could have been she thought that we were saying bad things, and I was about to defend us and say never.
But Dave, when your girlfriend comes in and says, "How are you, honey?" You don't say, "Why are you asking that? Because of the lipstick on my collar?" I mean, you don't offer up, "Hey, check out the mistake I might have made."
You don't say it if they don't know it.
Whatever.
Are you talking about the time I spent in prison? What were those commercials? Remember those?
Right, exactly.
All right.
What a way out?
So, King of Mexico, Megan Fox.
Talking good or talking bad?
Well, I tuned out when you were still talking good. I hope that that still happens over there at the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, that continues. The last time I talked to you was at the Transformers 2 premiere. And I don't know if you remember, but I had one question for you, and that was hi.
I do remember that.
Well, I got crucified for it. Because everyone had to ask you the questions, and here I am, lucky enough to ask them, and I say hi, and that's it, and then you walk away. So
here's what I like, though. Dave did that because he didn't know what to say, and he's retarded. Now, all of a sudden, it's this elaborate plan, and he's got all these theories about how everybody else asks her all these in-depth asking questions, and he thought he would zag when everybody else was zigging.
This is no game.
Once again, did anyone else get a kiss from her that night? No, just this guy. Just this guy.
But I want you to admit, I want you to admit, after the first interview, you thought, what a disaster. Damn, come on.
I knew it was gold. It was like, I just needed to cash it in somewhere. I couldn't wait for you guys to get back.
No, he didn't know it was gold.
I couldn't wait.
Dave, you knew that you froze last time you had Megan Fox in front of you. You had the opportunity to have a conversation like this one that we're hearing now, and you didn't because you didn't have the
guts. It wasn't a plan.
It wasn't all planned out.
You were lame. All right, so now he's established who he is. He's talked to her before, Kevin and Bean Show. She used to listen. We'd say too many things about her, blah, blah, blah.
A lot of setup.
This is where it all goes south. Because now Dave the King of Mexico decides, I'm going to talk to the hottest woman in the world about stuff I like. Not about the movie, not about Jennifer's body, about various things.
You have her undivided attention at this point.
I, Dave, am interested in things, so I'm going to ask Megan about my things.
Okay.
I gotta redeem myself today. So here are my questions. Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan of Paramore as I am?
Okay, so King of Mexico loves Paramore. That's his first question to her.
Well said, by the way.
Because, yes, it is.
All the time, him.
Is Paramore from Tennessee?
Franklin.
Okay, I didn't know that. I do actually like Paramore. I play that frickin' Twilight soundtrack over and over again on my iPod. Yeah, she's really talented. She has an amazing voice. I like her. I didn't know she was from Tennessee.
All right, so.
Boom, yeah!
Question one down.
Okay.
Man, a bit of a connection here almost.
Yeah.
But it's a. He got lucky because it's a terrible question.
But at least
it
was terrible.
But it was asked poorly.
It gets better.
It does get better if you're Dave. It gets worse if you're us because Dave continues to focus only on things Dave cares about.
Very much so, from Tennessee. Now, are you a baseball fan at all?
Okay. Are you a baseball fan?
No, I'm not.
Okay, then move on.
What's your next question?
Right.
All right, so how do you think the Dodgers are going to do in the World Series?
They're going to go all the way, baby.
Yeah! Go Blue!
If you're going to ask about the Dodgers, don't ask if she's a baseball fan, because the answer could possibly be no.
Right.
And then you're a jackass for moving on to the Dodgers. All right, now
how is the follow-up to "Are you a baseball fan?" No, a question about baseball, Dave.
Because I didn't really care what her answer was going to be. The question was coming out.
Right, so I just asked the question.
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh,
okay. That's how I do it on the red carpet, yo.
Shut up, Dave. I don't care, man.
I'll do it. I'm crazy.
So then you think he's done asking her?
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Asking
right now.
Megan Fox about stuff Dave cares about.
All right, and how do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
All right, I am going to bend you over right now
and Dave.
Kick you right where it counts.
Dave, people who follow basketball don't care what the Clippers are doing
this
year.
Even know who they
they are.
But you know who cares about the Clippers? This guy.
Right, but you're talking to Megan Fox.
Yeah, I just want to introduce her.
At the very least, you could ask her about an NBA team.
Play the clip.
Just play the clip.
All right, and how do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
I think the Lakers have got the Clippers.
How about that? Mr. Clippers fan, what do you think about that?
She's wrong.
You lie.
Okay, that's where he worked it in, Bean.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
no.
So, yes!
Okay, so this is cringe-worthy.
Okay, so he's talking about the Clippers after the she's not a baseball fan question. And then there's an uncomfortable silence, and that's when Dave decides to semi-shout, you lie.
I want to play that again.
All right, and how do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
I think the Lakers have got the Clippers.
You lie.
I lied? I'm sorry I lied.
Just say Clippers.
The Clippers are going to take it.
Thank you. You have made my day, and that was my exclusive hard-hitting interview with Megan Fox, and we only say good things about you, and the Kevin and Bean Show loves you.
I love the Kevin and Bean Show.
Please continue to listen.
Okay, I will.
Thank you, Megan.
So there you go.
Wow.
Okay. Woo!
Conversation.
That was awkward.
So he asked her about, let me just recap, Paramore, right. Okay, which he loves.
Yes.
Dodgers, which she clearly doesn't even watch baseball or like it, because he asked her that first. And then Clippers, and she gave him an answer to that question, and he made her change it.
Yes.
I'm just so grateful that they ended it there, because you know his next question was going to be about turtlenecks, right? You know that's where he was headed. Dave questions all the time.
We need to keep him away from
no,
hot chicks.
No, guys, I would like to think me and Megan Fox are now friends.
I would like to think that as well. It's not true.
And you could see us tonight at the Blink-182 show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:42.
You don't think Dave burned any bridges with Megan Fox? I mean, he's not going to really stand in the way of us having her on the show, is he?
Well, I don't think there's a bridge there.
Because she was very, very nice to him.
She was very
overwhelmingly nice.
Yeah. She really was.
Yeah. The guy asked her if she liked baseball. She said no, and he followed it up with a question about baseball. And then she didn't walk away.
I just don't want Dave to stand in our way. That's all.
There's no in our way. We've not had her on. She clearly is not coming on. So there's no bridge.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think he's going to start dating her.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be amazing if he dumps Yasmin for Megan Fox?
Here's what a G.
Because Yaz is so far out of his league.
Here's what a G he is. He's going to keep them both.
Oh, that's true. Wow. That's true. So. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. One of the funniest men on the planet, David Cross, joins us coming up in the next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have some huge news, Kevin, from our Wichita, Kansas affiliate. You know we're on talk radio for guys, KFH, out there. And apparently we're just killing it. Apparently we're just blowing up in Kansas.
What are you basing that on?
I heard it from a guy who heard it from a guy who heard it from another guy. Anyway, apparently Kevin and Bean Day at the Kansas Fair, the Kansas State Fair, is happening, and Kevin and Bean Day is on the schedule. I don't know too much about this, but it sounds like something we need to cover. So we have Lori Mulch on the phone. She is the assistant fair manager for the Kansas State Fair. Lori, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, first of all, Kansas State Fair is already happening or just around the corner, or where are we on the calendar?
Actually, we're many days into it. It started on the 11th, and it'll be over on the 20th. So we're halfway through.
Almost done. Okay.
Yes, sir.
When is or was Kevin and Bean Day?
It's today.
Oh, we can't be there today.
You know, we have the theme, check out the studs, and so we just knew we had to have a Kevin and Bean Day.
Really?
Check out the studs?
Laura, you need to do some research before you talk to us.
She did, and that's why she didn't invite you.
And you're not here.
Now, I would like to suggest that perhaps we weren't invited. I just want to bring that up. I just want to say...
For the record, I don't want anyone to think that we're snubbing Kansas.
No,
we got a press release that there was Kevin and Bean Day at the fair, but no one told us ahead of time. We weren't invited to be at the fair.
It's because we thought it was a joke. I mean,
I just don't know what to say. Yeah. I think I will talk to our friends in Wichita and
please
see what's going on.
Because I didn't get to see the Tropical Shores steel drum band. And I would have been all over that. I play a steel drum like a mofo.
What about pig races?
Lori, where is the fair held and how far away are you from Wichita?
We're in Hutchinson, Kansas, and we're only about 40 miles and a little north and west of Wichita.
Okay, perfect. So some of the people who actually listen to our program could come out to the fair on Kevin and Bean Day, and if they do, what Kevin and Bean related activities are going on there?
Well, you know, we've got pony pulls.
Sure. Right.
I mean, I know you've got a lot of stuff happening at the fair. You know, Glenda and Mike's magic show, Say No More. But there's no actual Kevin and Bean event or tent or souvenir or pictures. There's nothing related at all to us there, right?
Well, you know, we could do a Kevin and Bean look-alike contest, and they'll twit pick it.
Mm.
And
so you don't actually want him to attend the fair? You just want him to twit pick?
You know, they'll probably be at the tweet-up tonight, or you could be at the Freestyle MX Motorcycles.
Oh.
I think that's where they intended to see you.
I see. And by see us, you mean not see us.
No.
Because we weren't invited at all. I mean, honestly, we might have been able to be there, or at least, you know, send a representative or send, you know, a statue of us carved out of butter. I mean, there was a number of ways we could have actually participated in the Kevin and Bean Day at the Kansas State Fair, but we just didn't know about it.
Well, you know, I'm sorry about that. I think we just made our own.
We have eight butter sculptures in a warehouse just waiting to be some PR.
How do you know this one isn't of you?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm just asking.
So the exotic animal petting zoo is happening. You got chainsaw art. You got a comic hypnotist named Ron Diamond at the fair. I mean, it sounds like you've really pulled out all the stops in terms of entertainment this year at the Kansas State Fair.
We have. And we feature lots and lots of free entertainment on our three free stages. And, of course, the grandstand acts. We pack in 10 days of action in our grandstand. And then all of the walk-around acts, so it's kind of wild.
All right. Well, wish we could attend our day.
wish we had not been specifically excluded from Kevin and Bean Day. In the unlikely event that we're still on the air in your state next year, can we come out to the fair in person?
We will make room for you to come out and meet and
there
greet
we go.
Your
oh,
fans.
Right.
Nope.
There we go.
Nope,
we
not
will.
Meeting and greeting anybody. I'm playing the steel drum, whether they want it or not.
Okay, we'll do the steel drum.
All right.
We'll give you some time to do whatever you want.
Here's the problem, Lori, is that we're not we're not like entertainers. Like if something good happens to us, it's always our friends playing a joke on us.
Well, we can do that.
You know what I mean? No, but I'm saying so when something like this comes along, we go, okay, who's mocking us now? We got given the key to the city of Las Vegas one time, and it doesn't open any locks.
Right.
It's
right.
So
we just figured someone was goofing on us, but you're telling us this is for real, huh?
Well, we can make it for real.
Now, what does that mean?
It means it's not real. It means someone's goofing on us.
Are we being mocked?
Yes.
It's not for real. There is no Kevin and Bean Day.
Correct. All right.
Wow.
If you want to come out here next year, we will have it on the calendar and we'll make it happen.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Wow. This show is nothing but a series of disappointments today.
All right.
Lori Mulch, Assistant Fair Manager for the Kansas State Fair, going on until the 20th. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
See, it's always a bummer. Nothing good happens for us. Like,
so
nobody
sad.
Actually pays tribute in any way because we blow. Oh,
that does hurt. Well done.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 7:57.
It's Thursday. David Cross coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, tomorrow is Friday. That means Ralph will be here with the Movie Beat, Adam Carolla this week in Rage. We're talking to Steve Carell tomorrow, you guys.
What?
Our friend Joel McHale will be on the show tomorrow. Actor Jason Schwartzman. A lot of good stuff straight ahead in less than 24 hours on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat.
Dave Cross will make you jump.
Oh,
that
Ralph.
One? That David
That's
Cross?
Crisscross.
Oh,
a very
I like his work too. He's funny.
Sailing
oh, he was good.
You.
Remember that?
Wow.
Sad news. Avril Lavigne and Derek Whibley are splitting up.
Say it's not so.
Are they married?
No. They've been married for 3 years now, Lisa.
Okay.
The punk pop princess and the punk pop punk have come to an end.
Title.
3 years of wedded bliss. Now it's all over. Some people are speculating it's because he looks like Sting and Rodney Bingenheimer had a child.
Are they?
Some people.
Are they guessing that?
Some people are speculating.
Who are
yes.
those people?
You know, the people.
The people.
The people have spoken.
All right.
He's a jackass.
He seemed like a nice couple.
Sure.
But she wants to move on.
She
apparently
seems like a delight.
She has thrown him out of their $9 million mansion.
Mm.
And is
wow.
going to serve him with divorce papers because she is finished and wants to move on. Don't we all? I'd like to move on, too. I don't have that option. Meanwhile, in the world of wedded bliss, John Gosselin's love life is back in the news.
Hey.
Oh, good.
He, of course, of John and Kate plus hate. Turns out he was having a sexual affair with one of their nannies.
Yeah.
Stephanie Santoro's her name. She gave an interview to In Touch magazine giving disturbingly intimate details of their sexual relationship.
How disturbingly?
Well, she talks about the first night it happened.
Yeah.
Now, were they still together, John and Kate?
Good or question, is that Lisa. I think this is when they were separated.
Okay.
Because it seems as if he had the house and the kids to himself.
Okay.
All right.
He asked her to come over to help with the kids.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I call my balls, too.
Right.
Then he said, my back is sore. Could you give me a massage?
Right.
Then he said, now it's your turn. Then he said, I guess we can kiss just once. Then he invited her into the hot tub. Then
did anything inappropriate happen?
They ended up at the over garage apartment where the nanny stays.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
she
kids,
says, and
we
continued, doing what we started in the hot tub.
The kids were all
he's a delight.
The kids were all at the window looking out, going, "Daddy."
And apparently, John gave some propofol to the kids, so everything was good.
Yeah, awesome.
He knew he had a couple hours.
Hey guys, why would a woman want to touch John Gosselin?
Good question.
I don't know.
Okay. Stephanie goes on to say they had sex 9 times.
That night?
In the course of their relationship, oh. He wishes.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that John Gosselin wasn't terrible, but wasn't the best I've ever had. Then shut up about it. Let's just get something great to say about my Wang. I don't want anybody talking in the press about our sex life. And speaking of Wangs,
hey,
this gives me a reason to live.
All right.
Because, you know, after I heard about Avril Lavigne and Derek Whibley breaking up,
sure.
I'm not sure I had one anymore. But Star Trek's George Takei.
Yes.
Hey! And his life partner, Brad, have decided to become the first gay married couple to appear on the Newlywed Game.
Are they relaunching the Newlywed Game?
They are indeed, Bean. And Brad and George are going to be the first ever gay married couple to appear on that game show.
I find that offensive.
No, you don't, George. It's you. You're doing it.
Remember his country
What's
song?
What's the weirdest place you two ever made, Whoopi?
I'd have to say it in the butt.
How great is male ass?
No word whether George's sister Lico will be in the audience or not for the taping.
Well, we should certainly
hoping.
Talk to her.
Yes, we should.
Yes. We win. Do we get a washer and dryer?
Man Cannon.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Panic at the Disco bassist John Walker is 24 years old today. Writer-director Neil Blomkamp, who gave us District 9 this year, is 30 years old. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights celebrates his 44th birthday. Director Baz Luhrmann, director of Moulin Rouge and other film favorites, is 47. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, celebrates her 58th birthday. And the puppeteer who sticks his hand up Elmo's butt, Kevin Clash, celebrates his 49th birthday.
Happy birthday!
That's quite a distinction.
Suppository!
See, Elmo thinks he's a suppository, isn't he?
I don't.
He's just a little puppet. What
does
he know? I
understand that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. David Cross, one of our all-time favorite comedians, joining us on the program later on this hour. Apparently, he's very close to the building. But he does give us time to spotlight something that Ralph reminded of us today because it is Baz Luhrmann's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Oscar-winning. I believe he won an Oscar, didn't he, Ralph? Maybe
so.
Oscar-nominated?
Yeah, nominated, but I don't think he won.
Director of a lot of great movies, including Moulin Rouge, including Australia, a bunch of other films. But he had a worldwide number one hit record almost exactly 10 years ago that we were just laughing about in the office during that last song. How did this song ever become such a big hit?
How did it get made? A.
Yeah.
B. How did it get released? C. How did we play it? D. Why did everyone request it?
Because people need homespun advice. That's what I've always said.
This is the weirdest, strange song ever. And maybe that's its allure, is that it's so bizarrely out of step with everything else you hear everywhere. It's so bizarre.
It does have a mysterious quality that sort of draws you in.
I remember liking it when it first came out.
I remember,
I do too.
Every
do
single
too.
Time I played it,
yeah.
Every time I would go, what is happening?
Makes you listen.
Well, there's not a lot of spoken word advice on the radio these days.
Right.
I mean, outside of Love Line, pretty much this is it.
Because it blows.
This song doesn't blow. It's an oddity, that's for sure. It is an inexplicable hit. I didn't think it would be as big a hit as it was. It was number one.
It was a number one song. Hmm. All right, for those of you that have no idea what we're talking about, you're not going to believe this, but we didn't make this up. This is the song that was number one in 1999.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen.
Okay. I didn't know John McCain was doing spoken word then. And when a,
by the way,
when something like that starts, you go, really?
That's a really interesting point because Baz Luhrmann did not write this song. The words came from a newspaper columnist in Chicago. He did not record this song. It was a voiceover actor. Remember, we had the guy on. The guy did a million commercials and stuff like that. He was hired as the session. I mean, I guess Baz produced it.
What did he have to do with it?
I think he produced it. Yeah. His name was on the label. He's the one who made the big bucks, I assume, from everybody's free to wear sunscreen.
If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it.
All right. Now, at that point, he's already given us the only one thing that he would tell us about the future. I'm out.
If he could only give you one, but he can give you more than one.
The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice.
This happened.
Now.
Yeah!
Hit it, Steve.
Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded.
Is this Dr. Dre?
Yeah, Who is this?
Is it Dre? Is it Kanye?
Dre.
Who put the beat?
But trust me. In 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine.
That's where you're wrong. First of all, that's a lie.
I was hoping he was right about that.
That is a lie. You are fatter than you think.
As weird as this is, you'd listen to this over Fireflies or something, wouldn't you, if it came on?
But how are those my two choices?
Isn't there actual music with people singing?
There's no music out there. We have to listen to a guy tell us about
I think there's so
sunscreen.
Much music out there that's why these things pop. That's why these things stick out.
Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday.
Oh, f*** you!
Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts.
Wait a minute, did he just say sing?
Sing.
That's
yes.
it?
Sing.
It's one of the things, yeah.
Was that a whole paragraph? Just sing?
Just one of his pieces of advice. You should sing.
My advice? Life. You're fatter than you think.
No.
Don't sing.
See, that's why you don't have a hit, because you're a downer, man.
You know, all novelty records age badly. I mean, that just goes with the genre. There was a time, folks, where the Macarena was the hottest song on the air, and you can't hear it now without cringing. There was a time when Achy Breaky Heart was the biggest song in the world, but you can't hear it now without hating yourself
that
you ever
out.
Liked it.
But we
Who
hated
the dogs
it then.
Out. There's a million of them,
But Bean, we hated a lot of those then.
But a lot of these songs, I mean, Ralph's right. They stand out. They're an oddity. They hit the zeitgeist somehow. They become huge hits, and then you really never want to hear them again. I mean, I think that just goes with the territory of a novelty record. I don't think this record has aged particularly well. This isn't something I'd listen to if it came on
Look
today.
Up zeitgeist. All right, here's some more.
Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours.
Yeah.
Floss.
Floss.
Don't waste your time.
There's a guy.
Good advice.
On a song.
Yes.
Sing just the word.
Sing. Floss. These are all good pieces of advice.
Because you'll have your teeth in 20
don't
years.
Don't sing while you floss, though. You could choke.
Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead. Sometimes you're behind.
Nope. Listen to me. You're always behind.
Oh, man,
and you're fat.
Dr. Doom. I am not producing your next song.
The race is long.
That's right.
In the end, Tony with yourself. Remember compliments you receive.
Sure.
Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love.
See how witty that is?
Because
he can't do it.
It's hard for anyone to do it, Kevin. That's what he's trying to point out.
Wow, that's deep.
See? I think it's a little late for it. It's a shame we didn't think of this at the time, Ralph, for Kevin's answer record, because he really does have much better advice than this dude.
You are much fatter than you think now.
I'll bust it out. Don't think I won't.
Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch.
stretch.
Okay.
More good advice.
In the one word category.
Stretch, sing, floss.
Sing, floss, stretch.
Yes. Yep.
All right. I can keep going. This song has another 3 minutes on it.
I think we've heard enough.
I am going to go out and buy the remix today.
Please welcome Mr. David Cross.
Because I'm a woman.
Well, yes, but I'm afraid I prematurely shot my wad on what was supposed to be a dry run, if you will. So now I'm afraid I have something of a mess on my hands. I so very much would like to be in your prostaticular. Or it could be your colon. I'd want to get in there and find some answers. So I see you wasted no time in filling my seat hole. I was in New York for September 11th, or as I like to refer to it, the week football stopped. Okay, just... don't get it in my eye. You've been crossed, my man. That's what cross does.
I feel like we're being mocked. He already is, you know, a comedian and an actor and a writer, and we all love him. And then he comes in and he rubs his girlfriend in our face. He comes in mocking, like waving, hey, look at me. I'm dating Amber Tamblyn. She's with me. Oh, just because I can. It seems a little unfair that you have everything and we have nothing, David Cross. That's all I'm saying, I guess.
Where's that voice coming from?
That's being at home.
Wow, somebody
in Seattle.
He works from home.
There's a camera.
That is
right up there. Yeah.
Hey.
You were looking for somebody's lips to be moving, huh? Is that what that was?
Yeah. He really looks stunned. That, he
was scanning, I did not know that.
He was scanning the room to see who was talking and no one was.
It occurred to me that we've had David on the show a couple times before, but maybe on the phone, and maybe that's why this is a mysterious setup to him.
I have not been in the studio, but I forgot about the legendary fight Kevin and Bean had
We don't talk about a lot.
97, but. And you guys refused to be in the same room.
That's true.
Same state. We won't even be in the same state. Yeah. So,
but you insist on being in the same time zone. So that's cool.
That is true.
Sure. Yeah. So how are you, dude? I know you got a busy week, what with the book out and the signings and all that kind of stuff, but you're holding up okay?
Yeah. The stewardess on the flight last night was giving me Hennessy shots. So.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, make like in a very forceful way too.
What? You don't have a choice.
Friendly, but right. Also not taking no for an answer. Like,
but did you use the word Hennessy?
No, she did.
On
I
the
didn't
plane?
Ask for, I didn't ask for.
No, but I'm saying. I think if I got on and asked for that, I would get laughed at.
Well, and as well you should.
It's not really a drink that you do shots of.
No, exactly.
Of course not.
Mostly. No, I said, she actually, the first thing she said was, well, we don't have Jägermeister. And I.
Are you a legendary plane drinker?
I don't know about legendary, but perhaps after this segment, maybe.
Sure.
I drink on the plane because there's no reason not to. You're sitting. By yourself for 5 hours, it's the perfect excuse to get drunk.
Sure.
You know? And you've got
very little else to do. You're not driving, yeah.
Yeah. You've got no responsibilities. And
what kind of drunk are you? Are you the happy? Are you the sad? You
no, sob? No. I'm happy.
Obnoxious.
And bordering on kind of fun to a point where then I'll cross the line where it's like you have to be told, hey, that's not – you can't go in there. You know, you're not.
That, I'm not a pilot.
Nobody wants to see your penis. But
so
to me, it's
for
always
everyone,
fun.
Everyone, and then at some point, it's fun just for you.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I like
exactly.
that.
I have. I'm looking at my girlfriend.
You are
because I.
To what you're mocking us with by waving her in front of
no,
us.
No, not at all.
Because we love her.
We went
more than you.
She's awesome.
But sorry, go ahead.
She's more attractive than I am.
Very much so.
And her breasts are slightly bigger than mine.
But you're working on it, and I applaud that.
No, we were at this is when we, I wouldn't say first started going out, but within the first 6 months, mm-hmm. which is sort of in the beginning of the relationship.
Right.
And we were at a restaurant in New York, and bar restaurant, and with a bunch of her friends who I hadn't, I now have come to know, didn't really know that well at the time, and they were all buying me shots, and then eventually I took all my clothes off and was doing an impression of the 300 trailer.
That could have happened to anyone.
All my clothes. I'm not standing there in my boxers. I took all
everything.
My clothes off.
Now, this is still in the I'm trying to press her and her friends category of time?
You know what? It might have been the one, the actual minute when that stopped. Okay. That line of trying to impress.
Okay. All
right. Because you don't, there's nothing impressive when I take my clothes off.
I would actually like to talk to some of her friends about that.
Okay.
I'd like to hear that story from their point of view as well.
Who knows what attracts the female mind today? You're right.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, I wasn't going to even bring up your very public celebrity relationship, but since you did, was there any guff from her friends and family about you being, shall we say, decades older than she is?
No, not at all.
That went over cool? That was all right?
Yeah, that was never... if you see us together, and anybody who knows either us singularly or together knows it's not...
Not an issue, right?
Not even an issue, but it's not even it's non-existent.
That sounded like an ambush question from Bean, from somebody.
Well,
let me finish. From somebody who he doesn't like, which is not the case at all.
No. And but I didn't mean it to be that. I was just fascinated with, because in a lot of relationships that would have been a problem, and maybe you guys are so compatible together that everybody sees you and goes, "Hey, they're great together." Doesn't matter, you know, whether one's older than the other or not. But I'm just happy to hear that, because I hope to get me a younger woman one day, and I'd like to know that it's possible.
Are you going to take off your clothes and recreate 300 the trailer?
If that's what I have to do.
It is. Yeah.
Speaking of all the drinking, you have a book. And it is called "I Drink for a Reason," which is a great title.
Nice.
And I do.
You need to put he's a professional.
You need to put the word Hennessy in it. You need to put "I Drink Hennessy."
Yeah. That's good.
I do wonder about a guy like you who is so observant and has seemingly something to say about everything that's going on in the world. I do wonder if you sit at home and just furiously wave your fists at things that you see on the TV or hear on the news, and if you're the kind of guy who kind of this was cathartic to write about. How effed up the world is, and that's why it happened.
You know what? I mean, I don't. I'm not a big. I'm not as angry as people seem to think I am. For it's really more of a, laughing.
You like to laugh at it and just watch it happen.
And it may come across as angry, and it comes from a place that could be anger, but. I'm watching the healthcare nonsense. You know, that's amusing
debate.
To me. Yeah, the debate, the, right. The healthcare yellings.
You lie.
Yeah, I mean it's amusing
more than angry.
I think people get angry and only get angry. Those are like that's very typical of the left and their humorless left. You know, and I think the extreme left has no sense of humor, terrible sense of humor, and they can't find anything funny in it. And
right, that's true of the extreme right, though, too, isn't it?
No, I think the extreme right has a way better sense of humor than the extreme left, or even the right. I think the right has a better because they're in charge. So why wouldn't they? Even though you have a democratically run Congress and White House, the right is still in charge. So why?
Well, they're certainly framing the debate and moving things in the direction that they choose, even as a minority party. That's true.
It's amazing how effective they are, or what's more amazing is how ineffective. They run the House, they run Congress, and the White House. Maybe. And they have no – they're losing this debate.
Maybe that's why they don't find anything funny.
Exactly. That's my point.
It's tough to take.
But it's interesting to hear you describe that, because we're fascinated with comedy. And I know that comedy is one of those things that you can't look at too closely, because then it's not funny anymore. But it is a fascinating field to study. And you remind me the way you describe your approach as the great late George Carlin, who you almost got the impression was looking at everything from outside of the human race. He just enjoyed watching what was going on in the world as if he weren't part of it, and was able to make that funny. And he was great at that.
Yeah. He was will remain an inspiration. And excuse me for my...
That's all right.
It was a long flight.
A lot of drinks.
Get the man a Hennessy.
All right, we need to take a break. The name of the book is I Drink for a Reason. And you can meet David Cross tonight at 9 o'clock if you happen to be in Los Angeles at the Book Soup 8818 West Sunset Boulevard. 9 o'clock tonight. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back.
We have David Cross in our studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always great to catch up with David, and he has so much going on right now. You are your own multimedia
conglomerate
right now.
I'm a conglomerate. Yeah. Twitter account.
You are. You got a book out that's in stores now and available online called "I Drink for a Reason." You have a book signing. You've been doing these, I guess, around the country.
Just started, and I flew out here to start the a tour. I'm doing a stand up tour and book signing where I can.
Book signing is tonight at 9 at Book Soup. That's on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, across from where the old Tower Records used to be. And then you're going to be doing stand up at the Wiltern, also in Los Angeles. Tickets available through Live Nation on Monday night. Now, you have not been doing, am I wrong about this? Doesn't seem like I've heard of you doing stand up for quite a while.
Yeah, no, I haven't toured in 5 years, but I've been doing sets, whether it's, you know, just like, you know, Comedy Death Ray at Upright Citizens Brigade, or
just
stuff
one-offs.
Just one-offs and benefits and stuff like that. And I've been so the set. If you come see me and you haven't seen me in New York or L.A., then it'll all be brand new. It's a brand new hour and a half.
What if they have seen you?
Then only some of it is new.
All right, just checking.
But yeah, outside of New York and L.A., I mean, it's like you said, been benefits and one-offs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I haven't had a chance to get the book. I definitely will, because I know what a great writer you are.
You know what? I don't believe you. I believe that there at some point you had a chance and you just chose not to get it.
Did we pass?
I didn't.
No,
I didn't,
would not have.
Yeah, I did not realize that you had a book out until you were booked to be on this program. That's the first I heard about
it. That's different.
And then you got it? And I haven't got it yet. What I'm saying is I planned to get it, and if I were a better interviewer, I would have read it before this occasion to talk to
Mr. Wait a second, Bean. We also know.
Let's clarify.
America knows you have 17 assistants.
That's correct. I have
so
people.
One
that's
of those 17 assistants could not go out and get the book for you? Is that what you were trying to say?
I did not budget my time and resources as effectively as one might have hoped, is what I'm saying.
So the time between you found out when he was going to be on our show and now, you were in New York. You went to a bookstore, if I'm not mistaken.
No. There are no bookstores.
In
New York.
The world's largest bookstore in New York City. Did you go to that bookstore?
I may have stopped at that location.
4 days ago.
I wasn't on the floor that David Cross's book was being sold, though. My assistant couldn't find it. He got caught in the elevator. It was very complicated.
All right.
But
the
I wasn't
elevator.
Able to get it.
Just want to clarify.
It's a
now
big store.
An elevator is an excuse to not get a
store.
Book.
My no, he's still
was
in the elevator.
In the elevator. That's why I couldn't get your book 4 days ago.
He's still in there, and he might be dead. You don't know, man. You mock. You don't know.
You know what? All those pages are edible and they're nutritious. So
you could have kept them alive if you just had the book.
We could ask a better question, but what's it about?
It's basically a lot of short, you know, humor pieces. It's not a memoir or anything like that. It's not a. It's some stuff is anecdotal. Some stuff is just, you know, essays like rants, and some stuff is just really goofy, silly.
Any rants about the behind the scenes at Arrested Development, which might be one of the best TV shows ever, and was just strangely not paid attention to. I'll never understand that.
Yeah, that's one of those great examples of something that is lived on and
brilliant.
It really becomes something even bigger than it was when it was around, and I work in London a lot too. I do a lot of shows, and I'm kind of a hot commodity, and not a day goes by when I'm there when somebody doesn't ask me about Arrested Development.
It's just it's
huge
over
there.
You're doing a movie, right?
Well,
or
we want to, and everybody is on board. Every single person is not only on board but enthusiastic about it.
Then
but
why did you say we want to?
Because
is it not?
We haven't seen a script yet, and I think they're probably. My guess is they're still working out the deal between the producers. And
I see
Mitch Hurwitz.
But
and
you
the,
expect
and the
it to happen because.
I do. There's such a desire for it,
and I mean, they'd just be foolish not to.
That's what I think.
Know? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Now, Kevin asked if you cover any of that in the book. Is that, for instance, you say it's not an autobiography, but do you write about anything that had to do with Arrested Development in the book, or is that not part
not,
of this?
Not directly. I have a one piece that's called the Minutes of Fox Development Meeting, and
you
it's
mean
just
minutes,
a,
like you
a
take
fake. Yeah, yeah. The minute. The,
awesome.
The it's a fake. Yeah. What do you call that? What's a better
transcript.
Word for minutes? Transcript of the. Of,
but is it based on pretty accurate memory, or is it totally off?
I was never in. Okay. Unfortunately, I wasn't part of the development team at Fox. I have a lot of great ideas. A lot of great ideas.
No one's asking
how to entertain America cheaply. How to entertain America cheaply?
You'd think they would pay attention to that.
But that's really the only thing that sort of and again that doesn't that barely. Kind of skirts around Arrested Development. It's just Fox. It's an easy target.
Sure. Sure. Now, I don't know if I mentioned I've not read the book.
but that you really want it.
I plan on. I meant to get to it.
You know, Bean, I should say that it's out on audio, books on tape thing, books on CD.
Okay.
So there's even less of an excuse. You actually don't even have to have the ability to read.
I could be blind and still enjoy your book, is what
yes.
you're saying.
Well, in illiterate. You can be blind
sure.
and illiterate.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, basically a southerner.
But I did read your Time magazine interview, and they made a reference to your first ever stand-up, and I'd never heard this story, and I want to know if they oversold it, or was your first day ever doing stand-up one of the greatest stand-up experiences of your life? Because that just sounds so completely contrary to everybody
yeah.
we've ever talked to.
It was perhaps the worst thing that could ever happen to somebody who wants to do stand-up and thinks they might be good at it. It was ridiculous. It was like out of if you saw it in a movie, you'd say that's over the top.
You're talking about good on the good scale.
Yeah, yeah. No,
everything went swimmingly.
Oh, more than that. This is literally my first time at an open mic in Sandy Springs, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, and I not only was I doing well, but at the red light came on, and I said, "Oh, the light's on. I have to go." And people, again, it's like out of a bad movie. People were like, "No, stay. Let him stay."
Come on.
I swear to God.
Was the audience cast by a friend of yours or something? Or?
It was ridiculous. And then I'd say the next, not two or four, but 18 times I went on stage. Awful.
Like, yeah, well,
bombing, boo, get off, next.
Well, that's like
and it was the same material. And
you felt like you were being punked or something, right?
I didn't understand what was happening.
That's like winning big the first time you go to Vegas, and then you
yeah.
go, this is how it's going to be.
Exactly.
And then,
exactly.
And then you totally just get swamped.
But you have to have so often looked back at that first night and went, what was different? What could have made those people react so well to that material that it did not duplicate itself?
Were they drinking heavily?
No, they weren't.
They
that
were
was the problem.
That was the problem.
That was the problem.
That was it.
That's hilarious. All right.
Yes.
Here's the recap, because we're almost out of time. The book is out, not that I'd know, but it's called I Drink for a Reason. You can meet David at
Bean, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
I'm
get
sure
the book.
I will.
You're going to love it.
Bean is the only person who's claiming to really, really want it and have an opportunity to talk to him and be in a bookstore and didn't get it.
Yep.
You know, I dedicate the book to you. Well, I'll leave that for you. It's hidden. You have to read the whole thing, but you'll get it.
The signing is going to be tonight at Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, tonight at 9 o'clock. David is going to be doing stand-up at the Wiltern. Tickets available through Live Nation. And I understand we have tickets. If somebody would like to see David Cross for free, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We have a few pairs of tickets that we're going to give away to come see the stand-up. And wherever you're listing, you're eligible to win those tickets. And then I guess that's it. You got a website or anything like that? Anything else you want to pimp out while you're here, Mr. Cross?
The tour schedule is on Facebook. I think it's the official David Cross or something like that.
The official David Cross.
Because I start the tour in San Francisco, and then I come back here.
By the way, your Twitter account, you are funny. You are good.
That's not me.
Good.
That's
Twitter.
Not
what?
Me.
What?
It's not me.
What?
It says it's the real David Cross.
I know.
Now. They can
that's
say the
me.
Real without it being you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Right. You're the best. Bean doesn't want your book. I do. I'll get it.
I was not in a bookstore. That's my excuse.
Right. There you go.
And you can't get it online. Oh, wait. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. I Drink for a Reason is the name of it. Tonight, Book Soup, 9 o'clock. Arrested Development movie sometime soon.
Hopefully, yeah.
Stand up Monday night in Los Angeles and then all across the country.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll have special guests with me where I can.
Oh, cool.
Treats.
Don't we need to know who the guests are to know if they're treats or not?
No, just they're special.
Trust you? Okay.
As in Special Olympics.
That we understand.
Those are the best guy. Thanks for coming in, Dave.
Thank you very much, guys.
By the way, we haven't mentioned it much, but Ralph versus Mario Lopez coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's got the 5-month Hunt for a Puppy on Extra that debuted this week. And, well, Ralph understandably has some concerns about that use of time.
Sounds like a good idea. Good television programming idea.
How does that expand to more than one segment is what I want to know.
And I've said this for some time. It may not be Ralph against Mario Lopez, depending on his answers. It's certainly me against Extra, because obviously they're airing this and sending out press releases to tout it as if it's a major event in television history that we all need to tune into.
Is it possible you're underestimating it? That it's going to deliver?
Yeah, that's possible. At the end of 5 months, I'll be begging for more Mario Puppy Hunt. That is possible.
All right, I'm just checking.
But I'm thinking, I've said this all the time, maybe he wasn't included in the decision-making process. Maybe he's...
Maybe they're forcing him to do it.
Maybe they say jump, and he's got to say how high, because he's a hired gun. Maybe that's his gig.
But let's all agree ahead of time, that's the only acceptable
answer,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. If he comes out and says, dude, you're right, I cannot believe they're making me do this, then... it's all good. However, he says, no, it's going to be great. I can't wait to do 5 months of hunting for puppies. Then it's going to be game on. Then we'll have a problem.
I just can't believe that PETA hasn't already stopped this. I mean, how gross is it to hunt puppies in the first place?
Come on.
They're so cute. All right. Mario Lopez coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Speaking of Mr. L, he was a competitor in the Malibu Triathlon this weekend. Malibu Triathlon, of course, consists of sunbathing is the first leg, and margaritas is the second leg, and then the third leg is
sunbathing,
calling cops sugar boobs.
Sure.
Apparently, that's the third leg. No, it was a real triathlon, but it was star-studded because it is Malibu.
Sure.
So this is the bicycling and the running and the swimming?
Bicycling, running, and swimming, exactly. Right. Jeremy Piven apparently was competing. As was Mario Lopez and Terry Hatcher. And Terry actually had a faster time in the swimming portion. But Mario edged her out at the end and was overheard saying he wasn't about to lose to any of the housewives. So he put her in her
He's
place.
A jackass.
He kicked a 44-year-old woman's ass in a triathlon.
You should be proud.
Apparently, while he was racing his bike, he was looking for puppies, too, by the side of the road. Sure. You never know where you're going to find the right one.
You might beat her in a race, but she has a dog.
That's true, and found it in a day. Bobby Brown, inspired by his ex-wife's career rehab, Whitney Houston, of course, bigger and better than ever on Oprah Winfrey's, got a smash hit CD in stores. He, too, is working on his comeback. Apparently, he has already signed the contract to compete on the next season of Celebrity Fit Club.
Really?
This is going to put him back on top.
This is what happens when you smoke a lot of pot, by the way.
Yeah. You start eating a lot of nachos.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
Apparently, he is going to be competing against members of the High School Musical cast. They don't say which one, however, at this point.
There was one fat chick on the cast.
Right, that
has to
be her.
Yeah.
Someone from Baywatch will be competing. I wonder who that could be. Alexander Paul? I haven't seen her in a while.
Bleeth.
Oh, Bleeth, the Bleether.
It's got to be Bleeth.
Once you put down the crack pipes, you probably picked up the Oreos.
Happens every time.
Yep.
Good morning, Pato!
And somebody from The Practice.
What? No names.
Cameron Manheim?
What? That or Michael Carpiccio or Tutuccio or Tucurucoluccio or whatever that guy's name is. It's got to be him, right?
When did they start announcing shows but not names and we have to guess?
Look, they're trying to keep us interested and I know I am.
Really?
So that's good.
Join us for our new show. We've got an actor who wants to put on Broadway, an actor with green eyes, and one whose birthday is in October.
The dog theme continues in today's showbiz beat. Jessica Simpson is calling me an asshole.
And I'm with her.
She is, not for the reason she is, though, right?
Okay, no.
She's lashing out because I was mocking the fact that she tweeted that a ferocious coyote snatched away her multipoo, Daisy.
Yeah.
And she was feverishly searching for the dog, looking forward to him coming home.
Did she look, did she look inside the wolf's stomach?
Woof. I tried to explain to her via this radio program that if a coyote snatches a small dog,
odds are they don't go off and engage in like a poker game, and then he comes home late at night.
I've
staggering.
Seen pictures of that, by the way.
Dogs playing poker?
Yeah.
I have too. Apparently, I'm saying give up your feverish search. That was my
well,
point.
Well, coyotes do not take hostages. I mean, that's the rule, right? Pretty much if they catch them, they eat them. I mean,
and
that's
I
their thing.
I don't negotiate with coyotes either, by the way, as a rule of thumb.
Never. That's true.
She released this on her Twitter page. Still holding out hope despite the assholes that say it's a dumb thing to do. Daisy is my baby. Why would I stop searching? I'm a mom. She says.
Really? Because your dog was taken by a coyote. That's why.
A wild animal took your dog and ate it. That's why we're telling you to stop searching.
That is a period at the end of that sentence, Jessica.
And by the way, we didn't make the wolf do it or the coyote. We're not in charge of that. It happened.
But we're a-holes because we're telling her to give up this this search.
Listen.
She's telling us she's a mom.
Okay.
She's not just a pet owner, Kevin. She's a pet parent.
What about the dogs?
What about the dogs?
I would like her to continue looking forever then.
I say the coyote picked the wrong target. That's what I'm saying. I would have loved just to go for just a jugular shot on Ms. S. That would have been sweet. And I wouldn't have been searching either, by the way.
Same result.
Look, it would be tragic for her family and all, but imagine how cool it would be if Jessica Simpson got killed by coyotes. Like, if that's how she died, that'd be awesome.
She'd be like the Roadrunner, only she wouldn't escape. Coyote had to cut a rope and drop a piano on her head or something. That's one Wile E. Coyote right there.
That would
there.
Be awesome.
Yeah. And Avril Lavigne and Derek Whibley, apparently their three-year marriage is now over. This sad news breaks today. Us Weekly Magazine has got a confirmation that the couple has been married for 3 years. She has left him, decided to move on, and word is he is devastated.
Sounds like communism.
Rumor has it That's that Avril decided to leave Derek because he doesn't know how to spell Derek.
How does he spell it?
D-E-R-Y-C-K. Nope.
Deserves it.
Yeah, Derek.
Not a Yeah, Derek. That's Derike, if it's anything. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bassist John Walker for Panic at the Disco is 24 years old today. Jolene Van Voort from Nitro Circus. We talked to her earlier today in the pre-recorded interview. We didn't actually talk to her.
From New York City.
Heard from her. She's 29. Neil Blomkamp from District 9. He was the writer-director of that very, very entertaining film. He's 30 years old today. Kyle Chandler from a TV show that Bean watches.
He's a great actor, by the way. He's a fantastic actor.
He is 44 years old today. Baz Luhrmann, director of Moulin Rouge and other cinematic fare. But as we mentioned last hour, he also gave us the Sunscreen song. And what more can you ask from anyone?
Yeah.
He is 47. And Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah.
Sandra Peterson is her name. She is 58 years old today. That's a great thing about being a made-up character.
Sure.
Wears a lot of makeup. You can look like the same person for years and years and years. Look at Kiss. They're getting on stage this year. They're
That's
slapping
true.
On the grease paint and getting back on stage.
That is true.
And they look the same because they wear all that makeup. It's a good idea. I'm going to start wearing makeup to work.
It's a good idea.
For radio. Never said I was smart. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. The press release begins this way. Extra kicks off the show's 16th season with the launch of a 5-month campaign to find host Mario Lopez a dog in Mario's Great Puppy Hunt. Apparently, Ralph, Mario has been thinking about adopting a dog for many years now, and he has a very busy schedule, but now is the right time to get a dog. But he thinks that the folks at Extra can help him with this campaign to make sure that he makes the right choice. And that's what the program's about.
If Mario Lopez's schedule is so busy, why is he spending 5 months to find a dog?
Well, we're going to find out.
If he's busy, how's he going to take care of the dog?
If we had him on the phone, we might ask him some of these questions.
Mario Lopez.
Good
How
morning.
Are you, man?
What's up, guys?
Yeah.
How are you doing, man?
Woo!
What are,
Good morning, Mario.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm very excited to talk to you guys.
We're excited as well. What are you doing?
Thank you for having me on the phone. What am I doing with the dog thing? Well, check it out. I have major commitment and responsibility issues. I don't even have real plants in my house.
Right.
So I decided, you know, I want to prove to my mom, I want to prove to myself that I'm actually maturing and growing up. I am in my 30s now. So I'm like, I want to get a dog. And so I mentioned that to my producer here at Extra, and so they wanted to make it a whole thing.
Yeah.
And as you know, the Hollywood community is very dog crazy and
sure.
friendly.
Right.
And so everybody from, like, Oprah to Hillary Swank to Jennifer Aniston is very passionate about wanting to help me rescue a dog. It's all
Great.
About kind of rescuing and adopting a dog, right?
You should start with Mario Gets a Plant.
Mario Gets a Plant is a... Mario, I'm doing that, but well, that's it's 5 months. Up until that five months, I'm starting to like do stuff on my own around the house, having the housekeeper even chill a little bit. I'm getting real plants. I'm little steps. I'm crawling before I actually get this dog, which is kind of like having a baby that doesn't grow up because you always have to keep doing the whole thing for it. But I got a bone to pick because I heard Ralph was talking about me. Ralph, on the side note, I have a challenge for you because I heard you go to a boxing gym and you train at the boxing club. I too go to the boxing gym, so I propose this. Since this whole thing, I'm actually trying to bring awareness to have people rescue dogs because there's a lot of dogs who need a lot of homes out there.
Right.
I say you and I have a charity fight, 3 rounds, and the proceeds will go to the Humane Society or the American Kennel Club, something like that. What do you think? You pick the ounce, gloves, headgear, however you want, player, and we'll get out there, have a little tussle, 3 rounds, and we'll have fun. And as a side bet, I say if you win, you'll get to pick what kind of dog I get and name it. And if I win, you come over to my house and pick up dog crap for a year. What do you think?
That's a terrible bet.
There's a lot going on.
All right, that was a complex question, so give him a second to formulate.
You digest that.
To formulate
some
answers.
And let me know.
How about if I just buy you a boxer dog and then Extra doesn't have to waste 5 months of my time by showing you looking for a dog?
I know. I would like that. Hey, believe me, this is not a choice of mine. All of a sudden, it's turned into a whole thing. And it's over.
Mario, when they said to you, we're going to do this over 5 months, you said, seriously, this is like a week tops, this process, right?
Yeah, I know. But it's television. You know, it's like a season. You gotta milk it and then build. And that's why, like, American Idol and all these shows take a while to get the winner. And it's
But you're the host, though. Don't you have a vote? I mean, can't you say to them, look, I'm willing to do the dog hunt on TV, but I'm not going to spend 5 months on it. Can't you force them to do it in a quicker amount of time?
Well, I could, I guess, but, you know, I'm trying to play ball and I got to choose my battles over here. And the whole show is not about the dog. We've got many elements going on. This is just going to be sort of a running theme to it. But it's funny because I didn't think it was going to gain, like, this much traction. So many of these celebrities have become so into it now. And they're very passionate about what the kind of dog I should get.
Ralph, explain to him what caught your attention.
Well, I think it's just the fact that Extra released this press release touting the fact that it's going to be going on for 5 months on your show. And it just seemed like... you seem like a bright guy. You could probably find a dog in less than 5 months. That's what we
thought. Like in an afternoon.
I could find it in 5 minutes.
Right.
But I guess they want to just sort of cover every angle. And I mean, we're it's really kind of about just looking at everything in the dog world from dogs, plastic surgeons, which I didn't know existed. And again, it's all kind of tongue-in-cheek and fun, but we're really trying to be rescuing a lot of dogs and hooking a lot of people up with dogs.
I would like to see it go from 5 months to 10 months. I think you don't have enough time. I would like to see it get more in-depth.
Mario, we were talking about this earlier. This is Bean, by the way. And I met and married my wife of 18 years in less than 5 months. Okay, that was my wife.
Wow, yeah, congratulations.
It's taking... It's taking you 5 months to find a dog. That's our only point. Like, we have no problem with you getting a dog. We don't have much problem with you spending a few minutes on Extra talking about getting a dog because I think it will raise awareness for shelters, and that's a great thing. But we just are trying to get you to cut down the amount of time because 5 months is too much time, Mario.
Well, like I prefaced it before this conversation, I have major indecisive issues and commitment.
Maybe you shouldn't get a dog.
I've committed to at least I've wrapped myself around at least that I'm going to get it.
Right.
I just want to do the right thing.
Right.
Sort of like adopting a child. You got to kind of like really figure out your whole deal and what's going to make the most sense.
It is like that. But you can't leave a kid at home in a leash. So it's not exactly
all right,
the same.
Let's cut to the chase then, because we can't win the battle with the Extra producers. How can we get Mario into a ring so that Ralph can beat him about the head? How can we make that happen?
I already said to do it. I'm serious. You guys want to do it and we can do it where all the proceeds and will go to a canine charity of your choice.
Can you make it last 5 months on Extra? We want that kind of coverage. Yes.
We can do the build. Rob's going to need about 5 months of training to get in the ring with me. So,
well, I saw you doing the Malibu triathlon there. And I think I may need like a year or two worth of training before we actually get in the
ring. Mario's in pretty good shape.
Yeah. We'll have fun with it. There it is. I love the rugby team. There it is. Yeah. I'm not going
to
hit you hard.
I'm going to need 5 months to quit smoking first before I get in the ring. I'm going to do that every day on this show. I'm going to talk about quitting smoking.
No, you should smoke in the ring.
Oh, that'd be great. In between rounds.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, so who's satisfied with the answer? Mario sounds like he's saying he agrees with us that it's ridiculous that it takes 5 months, but that it's not all about him and the producers want this because that's how television works. Is that an acceptable answer to you, Ralph?
Well, hold on a second. But there's more to that. That's how television works. But at the same time, like I said, we're going to be hooking up a lot of people with a lot of different dogs and raising a lot of awareness. And so it's more of a – this is just more of a, you know, the, like the tongue-in-cheek sort of gag of it. But at the same time, doing some great things with and raising a lot of money. And
are you satisfied with that answer, Ralph, is my question to you.
The minute Mario said you kind of have to pick your battles when he was talking about working with the producers, I got the sense that I knew where he was coming from.
You know what I'm saying, Ralph.
Well, I do.
You do have to pick your battles.
Yes.
But speaking of battles, are we on for the fight or what?
Sure, why not?
Yeah!
All right,
why not? Are we on for 5 months of coverage for the fight?
And 5 months of training.
Right.
Sometime in 2010, we're getting a ring.
All right. We're out of time for right now. We will revisit that at another time, and I think we do need to kind of firm up what the wager is going to be, because I don't think what Mario was suggesting was realistic, but I do think it could be a lot of fun. It is something we'll look at another time. All right, does the great puppy hunt begin on Extra, Mario?
It begins today, so I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me.
And then it ends in 2011?
It ends in 2011.
All right, just checking.
So tonight on Extra, you actually start the hunt tonight.
That's right, we officially start tonight. So yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, we'll be
times.
Following you every step of the way for the next 5 months, Mario.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Yes, we will.
Thanks for coming on, man. See you later.
All right, take care. Bye. Okay.
Did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
He didn't do bad.
He disarmed me.
He did.
Yes. Yeah. But only by wanting to get in the ring with you. I mean,
what? No, I got the sense that he got a sense that it, maybe 5 months was a little ridiculous to cover this topic.
And
but
I'm
he
saying
was
it's
trying
not enough.
He was trying to say the upside is there will be a lot of awareness towards animal issues and that kind of stuff, which I can appreciate.
Then we need to have a word with the people who wrote that.
Yes, maybe we're talking to the wrong people. Maybe it's the producers of Extra we need to pick a bone with.
Because if it's 5 months of him finding the dog, I'm out.
Yeah, well, that's a given.
All right. Okay, so we're going to have
we'll
the
watch tonight.
Watch tonight.
And then 5 months from now, we'll watch what Mario chooses. We'll see.
Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 9:33.
You never want to hear Kevin saying woo at the end of a song, by the way. Just
I think it came out well.
You instantly regretted that one.
I did, yes.
Weird program so far today on the Kevin and Bean Show to go right from David Cross into Mario Lopez. But that is not as jarring a transition as we're about to make as we go from Mario Lopez looking for a puppy to Adolf Hitler in the news, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Adolf Hitler in the news, and there's controversy, if you can believe it.
Well, it's not exactly a PC commercial. It's an AIDS awareness commercial coming out of Germany.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, they make good stuff in Germany.
They do, sure. But this particular commercial is an ad, and it's a picture of a dude having sex with a woman, and the dude happens to be Hitler, and it says AIDS is a mass murderer.
Really?
Oh, this is kind of their way of saying, hey, a lot of people can die if they don't take proper precautions while having sex. I see what you're saying. So the controversy is that Hitler is being used to in this campaign at all? Like, it's not appropriate? Or
I think it's just a non-PC, you know, way of...
Well, I thought Germany, in general, was trying to get as far away from Hitler.
Oh, no, they love him.
Period. In any way.
Well, I think
and
there's
so
a lot...
it's very weird that this would be used.
I think there's a lot of people who probably are upset about that, but it's also, he's being presented as a mass murderer.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
All right. Well, let's find out. We asked producer Alex if there's any way she can help us dial up the hotline to hell, and I think we have the connection in place, and we'll see if we can get a hold of Der Fuhrer on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Adolf Hitler, come in, please.
Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles. Hello?
Yeah, you lost, Adolf, so singing that song is not going to change that.
I just like to sing some of the songs from the old country while I'm down here burning forever and all eternity.
I understand.
And such like that as well.
So you heard the story that we were talking about this promotion for World AIDS Day coming up, about depicting you as a mass murderer having unprotected sex.
Yeah, yeah, but what's up with that? With the Hitler equals AIDS thing.
Well, it's Hitler equals mass murderer, AIDS equals mass murderer.
Yeah, but AIDS and I, we had nothing in common.
Except for the mass murdering.
Yeah, sure, there's that part.
Okay.
But I was focused. AIDS just kills willy-nilly.
Well, it kills with the willy.
I think what they're trying to do is your face is a shorthand for bad things are going to happen to you if you do this. And I think that's the point they're trying to make is don't do this because you'll die like Hitler killed all those people.
But it's just a very tangential connection there. I mean, seriously, think about it. A condom could stop AIDS.
Right.
Couldn't stop me with a condom. I would shoot through the condom.
Right.
I would get the Luftwaffe to fly through the condom. I'd get a U-boat to blow up the condom.
I don't think that's the point.
Yeah, they're not making an exact comparison. And look, by the way, you're not the only one in these ads. It's a series of ads. There's another one with Saddam Hussein and a woman. Same thing, mass murder. There's another one with your friend Joseph Stalin.
What?
So it's not just you.
I don't even get the solo billing for the AIDS.
No, it's you and Saddam and Stalin.
First of all, Saddam was in a spider hole.
He was.
When they found him.
He was hiding underground.
I went in a bunker like a man.
You killed yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, but still in a bunker.
Okay. So you had a better hole.
And Stalin, Stalin. If you had a good hole, you wouldn't get AIDS.
Oh, come on, Adolf. We don't need to go there.
I'm just saying, Stalin smelled awful.
Wait, I want to see if I understand.
I was clean.
He is very disappointed in Adolf.
Is that what he's disappointed in Hitler.
I expected he was going to play nice and by the rules like he did.
I'm Hitler.
Yeah. Yes, I know you are. You're Hitler, right?
And by the way, Eva Braun is not happy about how smoking hot the girl is in the ad with me.
The girl is pretty hot.
Oh, that caused so many problems here at home in hell.
Oh,
in
you
my
don't
hell
need that.
Home.
You don't want that to happen.
In my hell condo. So in my little Swiss chalet of hell.
So is your problem that 65 years after your death, people are still automatically equating you with bad things? Is that what you're saying here?
Yeah, don't they know that I was also an excellent artist?
I don't think anyone cares. I think it's a little overwhelming.
I played a great game of Pictionary. What about the positives?
Okay, those don't matter when you do the negatives as big as you did the negatives, Adolf. That's the point here, I guess.
How about the fact that I could rock a little mustache in the center of my face? Me and Chaplin, that's it.
That's about it.
No one else could pull that off.
Well, I'd like to suggest no one else tried after you.
Fashion. What about the fashion I brought to the world?
Yeah, all right.
Patent leather everywhere. Greatest uniforms in the world, the Nazis. We look sharp.
You're not going to get any kind of sympathy from this room. I'm sorry, Hitler. That's just not going to happen.
Story of my life.
Yeah, it's rough all being right. Hitler, isn't it?
Hail me.
Sure would like to go to the Blink-182 show. Sure don't have tickets. What do I do?
Kevin.
Yes,
Kevin,
Mike.
Me,
yes.
Psycho Mike, will be at the T-Mobile store in Aliso Viejo.
Today?
Today, noon to 2. It's 26541 Aliso Creek Road. I'm going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the Blink-182 shows tonight and tomorrow every 10 minutes. A pair every 10 minutes from noon to 2 at the Aliso Viejo T-Mobile store.
I will be there.
How awesome is that?
World famous K-Rock at 946.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show Thursday now. Ralph has our final look at the show biz beat. Ralph, we just had Adolf Hitler on the show. I don't know if you heard that or not.
That's quite a get.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that when I woke up this morning.
Nightline's been trying to get him for years.
I know.
The guy scooped.
Bean was very disappointed in his sense of humor, though.
Really? Disappointed in Hitler, huh?
He thought he'd be a better guy.
I think Churchill was, too. I think Churchill once said that.
That's possible.
I'm very disappointed in Adolf Hitler.
I think he said that on his weekly radio address. Before we get into Ralph's showbiz beat, I cannot urge you enough to go to kevinandbean.com. There's so many great new things up on the website, including tons of video that we shot in New York City and just posted this morning, especially if you missed it earlier. You have to see Dave the King of Mexico interviewing Megan Fox on the red carpet of last night's Jennifer's Body.
I mean,
they are 6 inches apart. They're talking to, he's talking to Megan Fox like in real life, in person, interviewing her. She's listening to him and answering him.
I listened to your guy's show until you started talking about me. The good things or the bad things we say about you?
Yeah, why would he say that?
We don't say anything bad about her.
No. And when did we get microphones that were the size of trash cans? Why did he have to hold his microphone with both hands?
It's one of those NASA microphones they used to record sound on the moon.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
We're rocking it old school, man.
He's compensating for something on his body, I guess. But anyway, you have to check out the video. It's at kevinandbean.com. You will not be disappointed.
Dave is young Edward R. Murrow. I think that's the mic Edward used to use.
I think so.
Yeah. Look how pretty she is. We're watching the video right now.
I know.
She's pretty.
She couldn't be lovelier.
And what a waste of time it is for him to talk to her.
And how nice is she being to him?
Oh, so indulgent.
I hurt her so much.
Wow. Yeah.
Why she doesn't listen to our show, because we talk about her.
Well, who do you think will win in the NBA?
Are you as fan much I am Tennessee?
Being from Tennessee, you fan also me so much, Paramore?
And you also need to watch his baseball line of questioning, which begins with, are you a fan of baseball? And she says no.
No.
And then it continues.
What do you think of the Dodgers chances? Ass.
All right.
Seems like we're doing a lot of talking about Megan Fox today.
We are.
But I've got another story.
All right.
Apparently she has got a big interview in Rolling Stone magazine, I want to say.
That's correct, yes.
And she talks about the fact that she can be a little emotionally unpredictable.
Really?
Yeah. She at one time threatened to stab her boyfriend, Brian Austin Green.
Whoa.
Well, to which I would answer, who among us haven't?
Yeah. Take two.
I think Hitler was angry when Bean did that "they make good stuff in Germany" joke before you got him on the phone. You think Hitler was mad about that?
I'm just guessing.
Yeah?
Yes.
You really? I don't know Hitler's frame of mind, but it would seem if I was Hitler, I would be stupid.
We need to start a new file of Bean blows the joke.
Start the file.
I had to go. You have to go and stop talking to me, she says regarding Brian, because I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stab you with something. Please leave. I think she showed remarkable restraint, giving Brian Austin Green the warning for him to get out of the house.
That was nice of her.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of girls would just stab you with something.
Things are going to go poorly for you in the next couple of minutes.
She gave him the heads up.
Is a heads up most guys could use.
That's right. I think that was mighty strong of her, and I appreciate her good work. Chris Brown has started his community service. I don't know if you guys have seen him. The photos already of him clearing weeds and debris at police horse stables in Virginia on Wednesday. He started 180 days he has of a court-ordered community service.
Wow.
To which I want to know is, if he beat her up here in California, why does he get to do his community service in Virginia?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
That keeps us from driving by and throwing stuff at
him. Right.
Yeah.
I want to be able to pelt him with rocks and garbage while he's working.
I think he requested that.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
Sure. No one's going to bother him in Virginia. Anyway, I hope it gets hot in Virginia soon.
Isn't community service isn't it about people throwing stuff at them? What am I missing about this story?
I think you just do the work.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think you really get stuff thrown at you. It would be cool if they did, though. Dancing with the Stars has announced they are doing a special show to celebrate the life and career of Patrick Swayze on September 23rd. Just thought I'd give you a heads up.
All right. Is it called Pain Don't Hurt?
It is called Pain Don't Hurt. No word on what the tie-in is, but apparently they are ratings whores and will do anything over there at Dancing with the Stars. And speaking of reality television, they are bringing back the Newlywed Game. Familiar with that old school game show?
I don't think I ever watched that.
They would bring on newly married couples, as the name would suggest, and then they would separate them. They would the couple would leave the room.
Get them to fight?
They'd ask your significant other a series of questions about the other person. You have to write down your answers. Then they bring in the other person back, and they ask the same questions. And if you got the questions correct, you'd get points. If you got the questions wrong, you would get the stink eye and the slap to the back of the head from your wife, usually.
Why would anyone go on that show? That is a recipe for disaster.
It sure is.
To win prizes, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the Newlyweds need stuff when they're starting out, like, you know, washer and dryers and fridges and that kind of stuff.
But I do remember, am I wrong about this, Ralph? It seems like there were actual fights that would almost break out.
I mean,
they were seething at each other because the wife would find out that the husband had the hots for her sister or something like that would come out as a result of the answers, right?
At least once a show, you'd say, what are you talking about? There'd be some real flames thrown. Well, they just announced their first ever gay married couple on the Newlywed Game.
Okay.
And that gay married couple happens to be Star Trek's Mr. Sulu, George Takei, and his husband Brad are going to be the first gay married couple ever in the history of the Newlywed Game.
All right.
I would like them to be on every week. Or as many episodes as they shoot, I would like them to be constant.
Man cannon.
Because George is the man.
Man cannon.
I wonder if Brad's going to get upset about his comments of Mike's matinee profile.
Yeah!
Oh, that's right.
You should be on radio. You should be on television with that matinee profile. Those rippling muscles. Those assless chaps.
What?
He said that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bassist John Walker of Panic at the Disco, 24 years old today. Jolie Van Voot from Nitro Circus celebrates her 29th birthday. Neil Blomkamp, who was the director and writer of District 9. 30 years old today. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 44. Baz Luhrmann, Australian director who gave us Australia
and Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet. He is 47.
Sunscreen.
And Sunscreen, the song, yes. And Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, celebrates her 58th birthday today. Actress Cassandra Peterson, who at one time was a DJ on this very radio station.
It's true.
Yeah.
Celebrates her 58th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, a much better show than today, I think. Adam Carolla in studio. It's Friday.
Well, now you're making all the people who listen today feel bad.
No, but tomorrow's going to be better.
Happy with today's show. I enjoyed it very much.
All right. Let's see if it stacks up. Adam Carolla tomorrow,
right,
this weekend.
Yeah.
Good.
Movie beat.
Good.
Joel McHale.
Mm-hmm. Funny.
Love Joel. Love Joel.
Jason Schwartzman in studio.
Whoa, that Love new him. Show looks good, by the way.
It does.
His new HBO show looks great.
Steve Carell.
Wow.
Brilliant.
From The Office.
Brilliant.
Okay.
And we begin the six-month coverage of the six-month puppy hunt.
Oh.
Tomorrow on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Mario's puppy hunt.
It's going to be good.
All right, don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the latest from Muse. We also got some Red Hot Chili Peppers, new AFI, Weezer, Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs, and more right after this on K-Rock.